but that would work.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the meeting of the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners in the downtown area. Hi, Steve. Today is the 17th day of April, 2017. If you're not on our mailing list and would like to add your name and become more involved in the neighborhood council system, please sign up at the table all the way in back. There you go. During the meeting today, we will discuss the items listed on the agenda in numerical order, unless I receive a request from a board member to take an item on the agenda out of order. Copies of the agenda and related documents are available for you on the table, once again, located at the back of the room. Members of the public who wish to speak on multiple agenda items will be allowed to speak for a total of 5 minutes per meeting and may allocate time in one-minute increments per item when the agenda item is called, or they may speak during the multiple agenda item comment period. During the multiple agenda item comment period, a member of the public may speak for up to 5 minutes on multiple agenda items. If any board member has a conflict of interest at the time an agenda item is announced for discussion, the board member should identify the general nature of the conflict, indicate that he or she is recusing him or herself from participating in the matter, and leave the room during the duration of the discussion of the item. Before we make a decision on any item, members of the public are provided with the opportunity to provide comments on the item under consideration. If you have a general comment on an item that is not listed on the agenda, then you may provide us with your comment during the public comments period of the meeting. Public comment should be directed to the board rather than to individuals. Please understand that there are applicable laws that limit the action that we may take during today's meeting. Thus, we may be legally prohibited from acting on a concern that you expressed. However, note that your concern may become the topic of discussion at a future board meeting after we've had the chance to list the item on the agenda. Please fill out a speaker card so that you may be heard on any agenda item. You will be called by me when it's your turn to speak. Please be sure to place the number of the item or items you wish to speak about on the card or cards. Copies of the speaker cards are located once again on the table at the back. If you intend to speak on any item or items, you must turn in your speaker card or cards prior to the start of the meeting or prior to the call of that item. Please hand the speaker card to Mario, who's seated to my left. When a person is speaking, they are entitled to courtesy and respect. Please refrain from any other discussion in the room. If you wish to chat, then please take that discussion outside while our meeting is in session. We treat one another with respect. That means we act with civility and decorum. Competing viewpoints may be articulated without the need for inappropriate or uncivil actions. Last but not least, please switch your phones to vibrate or off. Thank you. Could we get a roll call?
Commissioner Schaefer?
Here.
Commissioner Atkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Derek Quiros? Absent. Commissioner LaFarga? Absent. Commissioner Lippman? Absent. Commissioner Sinclair?
Present.
Commissioner Webby?
Here.
We have a quorum. Note, Commissioner Lippman is on his way. And Commissioner Sinclair, thank you. I hope things are better. Good. All right. Busy day today. First order of business, I do not see any neighborhood councils that have indicated that they have filed either a CIS or have passed a motion or such with regards to any of our agenda items. I see one comment card with two agenda items on it. That would be George with 12 and 13. Do you want to speak on each of these at one time, or do you want to speak when they're called?
Up to you. It really,
no, no,
truthfully,
not...
Truthfully, I only really want to speak on 12, but since 13 is also pertains to our neighborhood council, I figured there were questions.
Okay, okay. All right. Just to let you know, then your total would be 5 minutes. If you wish to speak on just one of the items, let me know, because during that kind of comment, you can speak a little longer. That's all. Okay. Not longer than 5 minutes, but longer than one-minute increments. There we go. Okay. We have the minutes of the meeting of March 30th. Does anyone have any corrections or additions with regards to those?
No.
All right, I'll invite a motion.
I move to accept the minutes as proposed.
Second?
Second.
Any objection from the commissioners to the motion that the minutes be accepted as presented? Appearing none, we will show that the commissioners agreed with that. Pass. This goes to the meeting of the 4th, the next item, 4th of April. Any additions or corrections? For the record, let the record show that at 21 minutes past the hour of 1, Commissioner Lippman joined us.
Hello.
Any additions or corrections with regards to the minutes of the 4th of April? Hearing none, I'll invite a motion.
I move that we accept the minutes. Oops. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just had to get the right date.
April 4th.
I move that we accept the minutes of the April 4th meeting.
We get a second. Somebody? Anyone?
I second.
Okay. Motion on the floor made and seconded to accept the meetings of April 4th as presented. Any objection from the commissioners? Seeing none, the matter is passed. All right. Anyone here from the mayor's office or city council office for updates? I did. I announced it. Seeing none, anybody here from the budget representatives or anybody want to be from the budget representatives? Okay, nobody. All right. Moving on then, we're at... Did he say... I'm sorry. I was going to move on. We do have a comment card with regards to 8, even though we don't have anybody here from the budget. Glenn Bailey. Come on up, Glenn.
What item is this?
Number 8.
Glenn Bailey. I am former budget advocate, but I am speaking as an individual this time, hopefully in just 1 minute. So first of all, hopefully you've all been contacted about the annual budget day on June 24th, because I know in the past commissioners have facilitated their respective regions. I don't know if that's happening again. I do want to express, as you go through that process, assuming you go through that process, that for this year, I'm very disappointed because I have contacted for Region 2, which is Northwest Valley, all of the presidents of the neighborhood councils that did not have budget advocates on their board, and none of them ever received a visit or communication from the budget advocates from that region. It's not quite as bad in Region 3, which is Southwest Valley, but I've received complaints from those neighborhood councils as well. So I think that despite the good work of the budget advocates, they haven't done a good job of outreach based on those two regions. Thank you.
Thank you. Just as a comment, I can say that my neighborhood council I'm Region 3, aren't I? In Region 3, we have seen our budget advocate once.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Because I haven't checked my email from the commission. Do we have the dates of when the locations of where the different meetings are going to be held?
This is going to be one. This will be
one big one?
Budget day right here.
Oh, the budget day. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the individual.
No. The one with the breakfast and all of that. Yeah. I have not heard anything from the budget advocates with regards to the commissioners working as they have for the last number of years. I will try and remember to send an email to one of the vice chairs and ask them.
Just a point of clarification, Mike, from the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. There was a budget advocates meeting on Saturday, and they mentioned that they wouldn't be inviting the commissioners, so I'm pretty sure it'll be coming up pretty soon.
Thank you. Moving on. number nine, Linda Valencia. Linda?
I got it.
I'm Linda Valencia. I came to a budget commission meeting about a month ago to talk about funding. Now I'm here to talk on behalf of the Arroyo Seco Neighborhood Council. I am a board member for Arroyo Seco Neighborhood Council. I live in one of the current five geographic regions called Monterey Hills. As you probably know, Herman Neighborhood Council was one of our geographic areas, which is directly adjacent to Monterey Hills. Just to tell you, if you don't know about the Arroyo Seco Neighborhood Council, we actually do have five unique geographic areas. We have Mount Washington, Sycamore Grove, Montecito Heights, Herman, and Monterey Hills. What's unique about Monterey Hills is it didn't exist till the late 70s. And the CRA began a project in the late 70s, which developed the whole hill. And what's particularly unique is we're only condominiums. There are no private homes on the hill. And when they built the hilltop, they got some pushback from the community about open space. And so there is some open space. One of them that you may have heard about is Parcel S, which was recently bought by a private individual, and it has a covenant to stay open. But there's other open space on the hill. And why I'm here today is because this new Herman Neighborhood Council is asked to take some of our open space away. I will tell you that the same people that promoted the Herman Neighborhood Council are the same people that helped draw those geographical boundaries in the beginning. They were very active in Arroyo Seco Neighborhood Council at the past, and at that fine time, they were very fine with the boundaries the way they are, and there are actual natural boundaries. But recently, the CRA start selling off the land. And so there are several properties that are part of Monterey Hills currently that will become, on this open land, part of the Herman Neighborhood Council, should you approve the changes. And honestly, we don't know why this would even be considered. It's open land. It's not like they have stakeholders there. And the only people that will be impacted by that development are people in Monterey Hills, because it's right across the street. I'm told it's right across the street. We actually thought from the new map they were taking both sides of the street, but our council member's office claims that that's not true. But we would like the boundary to stay as it was. It was fine for the Herman residents in the beginning, and we know of no reason why it should change now. Plus, no one told us the boundary change. We found out accidentally. I guess I'm done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Martha Benedict.
I'm Martha Benedict, and I'm associated with the Arroyo Seco Neighborhood Council. I'm not currently a board member, but I've been involved with them since they've had their first election, which I ran. I'm really here just in support of Linda and her point, and I just want to make sure that the commission understands this boundary issue is an utter mystery to all of us. We accept certainly that Herman did get a majority to have their own neighborhood council, but we have no understanding and have never been approached or had it explained to us why their boundaries were changing. It's very important to us to maintain the integrity of Monterey Hills, especially since they're going to be even more cut off because of the loss of Herman, and we don't want them to lose whatever control they may have of their immediate environment. I'm sure this is going to be looked into thoroughly when you examine their bylaws and their boundaries when that comes up, but we just want to alert you to the fact that it is a controversial issue for the Arroyo Seco Neighborhood Council. Thank you.
Brief comment. When the question of Herman's bylaws approval comes up before this commission, I hope that those persons who have comments with regards to that will come to this commission so that the issue is not forgotten. I'm not saying anything in advance about what may or may not happen, but just so that the issue is not forgotten. Thank you. Glenn Bailey, Glenn.
Glenn Bailey, mostly speaking as an individual, I think, or maybe 100%. Few points. First of all, I, in previous meetings, had asked this commission to include the council file numbers on your agenda to help neighborhood councils if they did want to file community impact statements. I'm making that request again. So as an example, when you list here about the city's budget, the upcoming city budget the mayor will be releasing on Thursday, you could put that council file number of 17-0600. I expect there's probably some items in the general manager's report regarding, say, elections. We've all been asked to weigh in on that. There's council file associated with that. So it would be very helpful for the purpose of filing community impact statements, encouraging neighbor councils to file them, for you to do that. Second topic is the Congress of Neighborhoods. As you know, it's going to be held on September 9th. I believe those of you who were at your Empower LA Awards, which, thank you, that was... the awards part was very good. These are bookmarks, save the dates. If you didn't get one at the Empower LA Awards. When I say the awards was great, the part that wasn't so great was your caterer. I hope they're not the same caterer that's going to be doing, you know, other events. That's a whole other discussion, though. Regarding the Congress, last year we initiated an in memoriam recognition of neighborhood council board members, current and past, that had passed away, unfortunately. And I just want to let you know we're doing that again, since you're the eyes and ears out in the community. If you hear that sad news, if you could please forward that to the Congress committee so we make sure we don't miss anyone on that. I just heard that Gordon Murley of Woodland Hills Winter Center passed away. Longtime board member, so fortunately we're going to have at least one on the list. Number three, the Reseda Neighborhood Council tonight has an item on its agenda that is proposing to amend its bylaws that if a board member is removed, that they are being prohibited from being a candidate for 4 years. I think that that's unconstitutional to deprive someone of their rights to subsequently file as a candidate, either through the election process or the appointment process. I'm really surprised that that has gone out, but I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. And then I know there's been communication about personal email addresses versus a neighbor council email address. So I don't know that that's been adequately addressed as far as a policy. I've been advised it's in the city's administrative code, so it might rise to the level of a policy from the commission. I hate to say that, but because right now there are a lot of folks who are using personal email address, and that relates to the Public Records Act issues.
Could you very briefly explain what you mean by that? Very briefly.
By The whole thing?
Personal? No, just personal versus something. Personal
so
versus?
Versus either an email account that the neighborhood council issues or an account that was set up for the purpose of doing neighborhood council business. Okay. So that it's not commingled with a personal, okay. All other personal.
That's what I thought you were referring. Okay, thank
okay.
you.
Thanks.
Don't think I missed anybody with one in for number nine. Thought I saw one. Ah, yes, I did. Thought I missed one. Wayne?
Yes. So we notice I saw Eli Lippman running in here late today. Doesn't even want to say hello downstairs. Hides his head, and he should hide his head. See, what you did, you sold Skid Row out. That's exactly what you did. Slavery never ended. You got slave owners right here in the room. You're to believe that putting an online component in that election was fair. You cheated those people, absolutely cheated those people out of self-determination. And that's all you do in this building. That's all you do. Your city attorney is a liar and a cheat and a fraud. He's filing a gun charge against me. When the police department sent me a letter and told me I could transfer ownership to a relative, I have that memorandum. I have to go on Friday on a fucking arraignment because your city attorney won't let it go. I sued the city twice. I got an appeal on a TRO. And you psychopathic fucking freaks can't let it go. You can't let it go. Now you go to Skid Row and you disenfranchise the poorest, most in-need people in the city's history by putting an online component. They lined up with ballots in their hands. What was it, 86% said give us self-determination? But you allowed in this room former city attorney Rocky Delga Dumbshit to come in here and put an online voting portion in that election so he could steal it from the people who need it. And you allowed it. And your little Herb Wesson would only take three public comment cards when it came up on the next meeting, on a special meeting. And, you know, 84% of the people online voted against it. Bullshit. These people wanted their own neighborhood council. They need their own neighborhood council. The rich white slave owners in the north part of that particular neighborhood council are not needed by the south. This is the Civil War again. We're still fighting the same thing. This time, Skid Row wanted to secede and become the North, but instead, you force them to be the South. The South won this Civil War, didn't it? I hope they sue to overturn that fraudulent, rotten election and give everybody on Skid Row damages. You deprived them of a right to be represented. You gave them no chance to self-determine for themselves. And you people are the most disgusting of all because you knew if you gave in to Rocky Delgadillo and did online voting, you'd rob them of that election. And that's what you did.
Moving on to General Manager's report. Mike, I'm going to assume that you will be doing that?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon. Mike Fong with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Good afternoon, commissioners and members of the public. Thank you for your leadership and efforts in the community. A few updates on behalf of General Manager Gracie Liu. We have a few new staff members that have started with the department. I know a number of the commissioners met the staff members last time, but for the commissioners, we have Mary Kim in the back. She'll be covering some of the central and east side area neighborhood councils. We also have Gibson and Niambra, who have become some of the neighbor councils in the San Fernando Valley, and we welcome them to the team. And we also have a few new members that started, John Darnell as well, and a few other folks as well. So we appreciate all of them and look forward to their leaderships. Brett Shears as well, and Vanessa Serrano. They started 2 weeks ago, and you'll see them around at various meetings around the city. Secondly, Homelessness University is starting tonight. We have over 100 neighborhood council leaders attending the Homelessness Civic U. That will be starting tonight at 6 p.m. at the Ron Deaton Auditorium. It's talking about Measures H and Triple H and the city's efforts on addressing the homelessness crisis. Thirdly, the Congress of Neighborhoods is coming up on September 9th, as you heard from Glenn Bailey. So our department's working hard on that as well. And update on recent elections. There were two subdivision elections held recently on April 6th and April 8th. On April 6th, the Skid Row subdivision election was held on Thursday, April 6th, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Nearly 1,600 people voted in this election. Ballots were cast in person and online. The preliminary results were 764 in favor of the subdivision proposal, 826 opposed. There were 11 provisional ballots that were counted and verified, and now the number is 766 in favor and 826 opposed. There were a number of election challenges filed by stakeholders within the five-day period, so those are currently being evaluated, and the department will be convening an election challenge review panel to review the challenges. And the Skid Row Neighbor Council subdivision election was the first of two Neighbor Council subdivision elections to take place under the ordinance set by the City Council last year. Secondly, the Herman subdivision election was on Saturday, April 8th. In that election, there were 496 votes cast, 300 ballots in favor of the proposal, and 186 ballots cast against the proposal. The stakeholders in the Arroyo-Seco Neighbor Council and the Herman Neighbor Council Formation Committee were notified of the final results. There were no challenges in this election, so a certification letter was sent both to the Formation Committee members of the Herman Neighbor Council and to the Arroyo-Seco Neighbor Council. The next step is that Herman Neighbor Council subdivision will be coming before the Board of Neighbor Commissioners, and the Board of Neighbor Commissioners will be looking at the proposed bylaws, proposed boundaries, and make sure that for review, modification, and make sure that everything's in accordance with Article 3, Section 2 of the plan for a system, citywide system of neighbor councils. And those are some updates on behalf of the department.
Any comments or questions by members of the commission? I have a question.
Yes.
Do you have recorded, excuse me, how many paper ballots there were as compared to how many online ballots?
Yes. I'll get you that information, but we do have a breakdown of the ballots by paper and versus online.
Okay, just curiosity. Okay, thank you.
I would like
Commissioner Webby.
Thank you, Commissioner Webby. I would like to thank the department for taking action for one of my neighbor councils for East Hollywood and putting them into exhaustive efforts. I think that it is it's often seen as something negative, but it's actually very positive. At their request, you've come in and help them with the issue of not being able to have meetings because of a lack of quorum, and I think that the action, as described in the information that I've received, has been received very positively, and they're very pleased that you are giving them further training and providing guidance on how to grow their board and to keep consistency, and I am very appreciative of those efforts. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
We haven't heard much by way of any reports of neighborhood councils and exhaustive efforts.
So as Commissioner Webby indicated, the department placed East Hollywood
Neighbor Council into exhaustive efforts last Thursday. We're working closely. Lorenzo Briseño and our team are working closely with the East Hollywood Neighbor Council on these efforts to really train them, and then also to really make sure that we get them up to speed. So it's going to be a couple months, but we're working closely with their leadership team. They had a change in the leadership of the president there. And then in terms of the other neighbor councils and exhaustive efforts, we're working with Westlake South and the Wilshire Center Koreatown neighbor councils and a number of other neighbor councils, but I'll get you the full list.
Well, that'd be good. Okay, thank you. That way at least the commissioners can keep up with that.
Great, thank you.
Let me see something. Commissioner Lippman.
Yeah, Commissioner Lippman, I was just in terms of the grievance panel. When will that? How is that? Who's determined to be on the grievance panel, and when will that be scheduled? And
Thank you, Commissioner Lippman. Mike Fong with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Regards to the election challenge review panel, the department will be selecting three panelists, and from there, a date will be set for the election challenge review panel. We'll keep the Board of Neighbor Commissioners posted as to when that meeting date and time will be set.
Anything more?
Was there another question? Did you, was there, I'd love to get a report, I guess, according to the council file motion, that was passed by City Council, they authorized the department to run these two elections, or the one election online, but still to report back after the election. Is that report going to be put together by the department before or after the grievance panel, or what happens sort of next with Council File 1022 or 15-1022-S2?
Thank you, Commissioner Lippman. In regards to the council file that you mentioned, the department will be reporting back to the Rules and Elections Committee on this particular election, and also answer any questions that the committee may have. In terms of the report back, we're probably currently working on a report now to analyze the data, and we'll get that report back to the Rules and Elections Committee.
Okay. And then, Commissioner Lippman, again, I wanted to point out, I don't know if any of the commissioners noticed, but there was like half a dozen at least articles about the subdivision elections in the LA Times and KPCC. So I mean, the fact that 1,600 people got out and voted and it was written up in major newspapers sort of speaks on a broader sense, not to the specifics of the particular neighborhood council, but that people see that neighborhood councils have an impact and have an influence and have power, and there's something very involved with it that's healthy for the city. So I was heartened to see at least the level of interest from the news media, because usually neighborhood councils don't get any news media. So.
Commissioner Schaefer commenting, yes, I saw those articles. Interesting. Okay, Glenn Bailey, item number 10. How much of your 5 minutes do you want to designate on this? You're in 1 minute increments because you did have multiple items.
Let's start with 2 minutes and see if I get completed.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'll go another minute. So, Glenn Bailey again. First of all, I wanted to comment regarding the recent subdivision elections, but before I do that, I just wanted to ask if maybe the recent renewal by the Department of Water and Power commissioners of the DWP oversight, the MOU, could maybe be placed on your agenda for a presentation. It's a suggestion. Part of it is to elevate awareness of neighborhood councils, because it's a five-year cycle, and as you know, during the last 5 years, there's probably 80% of the neighborhood council board members are new. So I think it would be a valuable outreach effort. Not this isn't the only place, but it would complement other efforts being done to let people know that there is a new MOU and that they do need to agendize it and they do need to vote to subscribe to it again. So my remaining comments has to do with the subdivision process. First of all, in reviewing the working group motions that you previously considered, or are still considering, I presume, the one dealing with subdivisions, subsection A, says the subdividing group shall undertake the process for neighbor council formation as already described for new councils. And so as a member of this working group from 4 years ago, I frankly was rather surprised to learn that a subdivision could go ahead with less than 3,500 residents when in fact the standard threshold is 20,000. And I know there are a couple of exceptions, literally two exceptions to the less than 20,000. But if you do the math, so another minute or two, if you do the math and divide this city up into potentially many subdivisions of that small of an area, which could be done, you're looking at a huge increase in the number of neighborhood councils. I did the math. It was like 1,115 neighborhood councils potentially. Dollar-wise, it was like over $40 million if you all gave them the same amount of money. So the other comment has to do with the money. The Valley Alliance of Neighborhood Councils passed a motion at its meeting last week to ask for a working group to look at the funding of neighborhood councils. Because as you know, there's some neighborhood councils that have over 100,000 people that they have to do outreach to, and other neighborhood councils have quite a bit less. And so I know the issue's been looked at before, but maybe looking at it again. And then lastly, with regards to the outreach for the review panels, I would ask that in last year, when we had review panels for challenges, the meeting agenda should be sent to all of the stakeholders who have subscribed to early notification service for the affected neighborhood councils. So if there's a review panel for the Skid Row Neighborhood Council, it should go out to everyone who signed up for historic cultural as well as downtown Los Angeles neighborhood councils so that they're aware of this meeting. And it should be done as soon as that notice is available and not just with one day's notice or right before. It just needs to be done as soon as possible. I think that's it. Thank you.
General Jeff?
How much time until it?
No, this is regular time. He's only got one card in.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is General Jeff. I am the chair of the Skid Row Neighborhood Council Formation Committee. I'm excited to come before you and speak on behalf of our community, which we just had our subdivision election, as you all know, on April 6th, earlier this month. And so a very, very exciting time for our community. We activated, we organized, got out the vote, did all the right things, generated enough excitement and interest to where we had nearly 1,600 people, only to be heartbroken to find out that, things weren't fair and square for us. And so, we're a community that, as you all know, is commonly known as the homeless capital of America. And so when we are able to take 2.5 years to commit to this effort, not only starting with getting the subdivision process in and of itself passed, and then which would allowed us to provide an application, it's just tremendously heartbroken to know that we were denied our opportunity to really get involved, and be a part of the American democratic process. And so, yes, we have filed multiple election challenges, and we really hope that we will be listened to, looked at, and respected in terms of what this is and how important it is for our community to have a Skid Row Neighborhood Council. We've done all the right things necessary, dot every I and cross every T, and for us to be vilified when we're under such, you know, in dire conditions as is, we really need this to happen. And we hope that not only Bunk, Dunn, you know, the entire city of Los Angeles will really take all of those matters into consideration. And we look forward to a complete and fair resolve to this matter. Thank you so much.
Wayne? And how much time would you like to have allocated to this item?
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
So here's your voting. Paper ballots, 183 yes, 19 no. Online voting, 807 against, 581 in favor. So when you look at these statistics, the paper ballots, which is what this election should have been, it should have been by paper ballot. We know online ballot is fraudulent. When it came to your good friend Hillary losing, you blamed it on the Russians, all that voter hacking. So what you did was you saw how Donald Trump did it, and you did it to the neighborhood council formation in Skid Row. So you're no different. You people are no different than Fidel Castro. You're no different than Tito. You're no different than Hitler. You're no different than any dictator in the history of mankind. These people needed their own neighborhood council. It took 2 years to do this. All you had to do was just give them self-determination. But you decided they need to be owned by slave owners. Look at that beautiful little website.
Look, DLANC.
Now they're going to be getting their next meeting. Well, you know, we put those slaves down. They were going to try to emancipate themselves. And we hired ourselves Rocky Delgadillo and paid him a lot of money. And he went in and greased the wheels. You know, the only way we could stop it, the only way we could stop it was to go with online voting, because we know we can hack online voting and bring other people in here and defeat it. And that's what online voting is. Online voting is fraud voting. There is no online voting. It's against state law to hold an election with online voting. You people are sick, 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 and I hope they sue and kick your ass.
By the way, thank you for those statistics. Okay, moving forward, unless any of the commissioners have a comment any further with regards to the online. Okay. I would like to ask one question of staff, if possible. When the subdivisions request was filed, there had to be certain things with it, including the number of persons who would sign, the number of signatories and such along with it. Is there anything in the department's rules with regard to outreach by the formation committee to other neighborhood councils or the affected neighborhood councils? You know what I'm talking about. In other words, you're taking territory away from so-and-so. Is there anything in the department's application process that says during this period you have to outreach to your neighbors or what?
Thank you, Commissioner Schaefer. Mike Fong with the Department of Neighbor Empowerment. In regards to the subdivision application process, the outreach efforts need to be, a variety of stakeholders need to be outreached to. So with the applications that were received, the department asks each applicant to gather additional signatures from a variety of stakeholders, and the Skid Row petition and the Herman petition committee gathered additional signatures as well. You need to gather between 200 to 500 signatures, but both groups submitted
approximately nearly 500 signatures as part of the outreach process. And we encourage the formation committees to make sure that they reach out to a variety of stakeholders who are to make sure that they're aware of what's happening and to make sure that folks are engaged in the process.
Well, my question then more specific, is there any requirement that there be outreach other than in the affected area? In other words, the area seeking subdivision.
In regards to the outreach, the signatures have to be within the proposed area to be subdivided. So they can gather up to and submit up to over 500 signatures and of stakeholders in the area. But folks, both committees had been working for a number of years. As you heard, Skid Row had been working for a few years, and so was the Herman Formation Committee as well. It's usually in the best interest of the Formation Committee to make sure that they reach out to as many stakeholders as possible.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to number 11. Aha! It's time for show and tell. Leila Campos is here. Along with our tech person.
Yes.
And this will be a discussion concerning the new proposed funding plan to the extent that it's in place. And everybody, to the extent that we know what's going on with it, we'll find out what's happening today, and there may be some questions to be asked at the end. So, Mr. Choi, almost ready? Okay.
So,
will the slides go on while the talk is going?
Sure. I just want to do a couple of background
points.
Okay. So, good afternoon, Board of Neighborhood Commissioners. Leila Campos with the Office of the City Clerk. I am the program manager overseeing the Neighborhood Council funding program. And the staffer with me is Andrew Choi. And he is the jack of all trades. He's the technical side. He's the accounting side and much more.
Just a moment.
Of course.
Just for the record, it is 2 o'clock, and Commissioner Lippman has left the room for some reason, but I'll let everybody know when he's back.
Okay. So, first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity to present in front of you today and engage in a discussion to answer any questions that you may have concerning the transition and the implementation of the new portal for the funding program. So a little bit of background, as you may know, as you know, the funding program was transitioned to the Office of the City Clerk back in July of 2016. It left the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment and was transferred to the Office of the City Clerk. The clerk's priority, you know, we're following the principles of transparency, accountability.
Excuse the interruption. Just want to let you know that at 4 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock, Commissioner Lippman has returned.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Transparency, accountability, simplicity, and consistency. These are the principles that we're aiming to fulfill as we roll out this program and work to serve as the neighborhood councils within the Office of the City Clerk. While the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners does not have a direct impact on the Office of the City Clerk, we're here because we recognize the importance of partnering with this commission. Your work is integral to the neighborhood councils, and we want to partner with you in a collaborative manner so that we can better serve the neighborhood councils. Right now, we are maintaining the current program as you know it, with the FRFs and the NPG forms and everything that's required. So we are maintaining that. Not a lot of changes have taken place on that side because there's an overhaul of everything come July of this year, which is our implementation goal. We're looking to launch the program in July, and Andrew will get into the details shortly. We are able to show you in the concept of how this is going to function. We have actually gotten a little bit of a peek preview to the actual portal, but it's not finalized. We should be viewing it by the end of this week. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Andrew, and then I'll open it up for questions so that, you know, you can let us know your thoughts, concerns, and comments.
Hello. I don't think anybody can see
it. It's pretty tiny. They haven't enlarged it yet to be visible.
So we'll be moving on to it. Hello. My name is Andrew Choi. I'm with the Office of the City Clerk, Neighbor Council Funding Section. I'm currently the Accounting and Administrative Supervisor. And so what I'll be presenting today is the presentation we have been conducting throughout the roundtables throughout the city of Los Angeles. Currently, we've conducted roundtables in 6 of the 7 planning areas, and we'll be in the harbor area starting tomorrow. So the current presentation will go through our current status with the funding program integration. The integration is a joint effort between the Neighbor Council Funding Program and also the Systems Division within the City Clerk's Office, where we're developing a software for Neighbor Council funding purposes. So just a little bit of background. As of July 1st, 2016, the Neighbor Council Funding Program was transferred from the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment to the Office of the City Clerk. Currently, we are still using the same NC funding programs, policies, and procedures till June 10th of 2017 of this year. The new system and policies for the NC funding program will launch in July of 2017. Three areas that we are discussing changes in is in the current procedures of the Neighbor Council Funding Program, the policies that govern the Neighbor Council Funding Program, and the method in which we transmit information and also data. Part of the policies we're looking into is drafting a new sets of rules, which includes freezing of funds, unfreezing of funds, training requirements, event approvals, use of purchase card, and also budget submissions. Some things that will be remaining the same but tweaked will be some definitions such as neighborhood purpose grants, community improvement projects, operational expenditures, which will be broken down into 3 subcategories: office expenditures, outreach expenditures, and election expenditures. Some of the forms we're looking to rework and tweak is a funding request form, the event request form, the monthly expenditure report, the annual budget form, cash request forms, and MPG application. Other components of the policies we're addressing is the training requirements. We are looking into further improving our service to the Neighbor Council treasurers and second signers and any member of the public who is interested through potential live webinar trainings and also additional live trainings hosted here at City Hall and or at regional locations. Other processes and other things that we're addressing is the procedures. Currently, we're in the process of finalizing a new system with a working group, which is made up of Neighbor Council treasurers and board members who have a vested stake in the current system. The system is being custom built for Neighbor Council funding business. It's not an off-the-shelf product we're tweaking for Neighbor Council, but we're building it from the ground up. The system is built so that you may submit and track funding requests, make payments to vendors, scan in receipts from card transactions via a scanning process with a computer and or with your phone. It'll self-generate reports, and it is meant for the purposes of simplifying the NC funding process for not only city staff, but also neighbor council treasurers and funding officers. We are currently still going to be using Union Bank as the bank for a lot of our procedures. However, we are currently right now in a retail space with Union Bank and we'll be moving over to a commercial space. One of the features of the funding program is the card purchase card. Currently, neighbor councils are using a debit card associated with the neighbor council checking account. We'll be changing that over to a credit card, a purchase card for each board member, each card holder, where they will be given a line of credit, which will be then cashed or paid out of those individual accounts. The system is built so that you're able to use your card, and once you swipe it, the system itself will capture that data when the Union Bank sends that information to our system, and neighbor councils will be able to attach receipts associated with each transaction. All of that data will be then stored into our internal database, where our database will then capture all that information. The second way a neighbor council member will be able to issue payment is through a funding request form. Much like the current system now, neighbor council board members or treasurers will be submitting documentation to us. However, instead of returning the documentation to the board members to issue payment, the system will capture that information from the beginning and issue payment once automatically approved. One of the changes we're doing is a method in which neighbor council members can track the funding process. So they'll know when a document's in review, a check has been made, a check has been issued, when a check has been cashed. Other things that will be other parts of the system that we're keeping is the ability to retain and store vendor information. So you'll be able to track and find that vendor information over and over again instead of retyping it in. The goals for this is to create a business process where any transaction, based on the type of transaction and the amount, will determine how long an item will take to process through our system and a check to be issued. Mind you, this is only specifically for check processes. Per our analysis, our aggregate number shows about 80% of the transactions neighbor councils do are with cards, and we believe that will stay around the same. The trend will remain about the same. Our goal for this system is to improve transparency through centralizing a database and making it available to the public, improve accountability, making our information trackable, meaning our workflow is trackable, simplicity to improve, reducing the clerical responsibility of the treasurers and taking on that clerical responsibility ourselves, and improving consistency because we're standardizing the forms and the advice we're giving out to the neighbor councils. And the we're also centralizing the simplifying the policy so it's readily accessible. Finally, currently the MERs is done manually through data input. We're transitioning over. Since we're collecting all of this data, our system will be generating your monthly expenditure reports for the neighborhood councils instead of manual input. And since you are submitting documents to us, we'll be also attaching the supporting documents with the expenditure report. Finally, what we're planning to do is... Finally, how we're going to be doing this is through an internet-based system. Neighbor councils will be able to access all of their funding information and updates and or the current status of funding requests through a web portal. It will be username and password protected, but also there will be a public portal where the general public will also be able to track information. So to implement all of this, we have created deadlines that we need to... enforce. June 1st will be the last day a neighbor council will be able to submit a funding request form. June 7th is the last day a neighbor council will be able to issue a check using their checking account system, current checking account system with Union Bank. And June 11th will be the last day a neighbor council cardholder will be able to use their purchase card.
You didn't mention that's our website.
This is our current website. I will show you the full website in a little bit. One second, please. So we are currently on clerk.lacity.org, and in one of the menu tabs it says Neighbor Council Funding Program, where you'll be able to find our up-to-date information on current trainings and training dates and times. All of our funding forms and documents are also on this website. Comments and questions, especially the dates I've mentioned, is also available on our website. And if you want to speak with a funding representative, a breakdown of our funding representative per region is also available on our website as well.
Quick question.
Okay, questions.
Commissioner
Atkinson.
Just a quick question. I'm just assuming that you've contacted every treasurer and every president of every neighborhood council to let them know what these deadlines are, when they can't use their credit card, when everything is going to be closed down, because somebody is going to say, we didn't know, and where is our money? So when have you already contacted them, or do you plan on contacting them soon?
So we have been announcing the deadlines for quite some time. We have contacted them directly via email. I think we will be contacting them via phone, just to make sure that, especially in some of the areas where we see that there's hardly any activity, we will contact them and check in with them to make sure that they know that these deadlines are coming up. And it's on the return of all of our emails as well, so, you know, I know that.
It doesn't make any difference how much you tell them. Somebody's going to say.
Oh, I realize that.
You didn't tell us, so I like the phone call idea.
Absolutely, yes, me too.
Commissioner St. Clair.
Commissioner St. Clair here. I just had a quick question. What is the downtime before the cutoff dates and when the new system process goes into play? Do you guys have a come back online date? Okay.
Yes. You want to answer that?
Yes. We're currently, we will be issuing the purchase cards and making it available the 1st of July. The system will depend on if we can get all the board members or the funding officers trained in that time. Part of the downtime, why we are cutting off the cards on the 12th, is so that we can spend the next 2 weeks or 2 to 3 weeks just do training on the new system for treasurers.
Just if I may add to that. So as Andrew said, the downtime is roughly 2.5 weeks, 18 days. We have gotten some concerns from neighborhood councils, mm-hmm. and we're duly noting that there's going to be events and things that they're going to be working on at the beginning of July. And that's going to be difficult. So what we will do is work a timeline probably from the moment that we stopped the last transaction through possibly, we haven't nailed down the date yet, but maybe that first or second week in July, and we will allocate funds for upcoming projects and things that should be coming out of the 2016 fiscal year so that they don't come out of the 2017-18 fiscal year. If that made any sense, and you can repeat that in accounting terminology.
Commissioner Lippman?
Invariably, there will, no matter how well you build out the system, there will be some glitches or some challenges. Is there any opportunity at all? I know it's a very tight deadline to pilot this with some neighborhood councils who might be able to beta test it before it goes live.
You know, when the Office of the City Clerk first embarked to do this, there were reasons why we had to move quickly, you know, and one of those reasons is the bank. The situation with the bank, we were working without a contract, and so the reason why probably beta testing or doing sort of a trial might not work is because all the accounts are going to shift. We're completely changing the structure of the account from a commercial account, retail based to a commercial based account, and we are going from 96 accounts to one account with sub accounts, and so that makes it difficult. But we are definitely aware that this is a huge task, and you know, if at any point we feel like we are not going to hit that mark, you know, we certainly can pull back and have go to Plan B and make sure that everything is rolled out in a good way.
Great. Commissioner Lippman, as a follow-up, since there won't be time to kind of beta test it, what I would suggest then is creating either like a help or an FAQ page or some sort of form system whereby, you know, if somebody experiences a glitch, they can submit a ticket to, you know, say, hey, this didn't work, please help me fix it. Or in addition, identifying a couple really smart sort of folks, and there's folks out there in the neighborhood council system who are developers themselves who could be sort of the power users who may, you know, have certain access or have the ability to at least contact you and say, hey, this isn't working right. Can you help to fix it?
Andrew Choi, we have a working group made of neighborhood council board members and treasurers who is taking part of advising and also help guiding some of the front end processes so that it is neighborhood council focused. Our office and our intention with the system is not to just create a system and have neighborhood councils use it. We want to develop it with the neighborhood councils in mind because it is impacting our lives, but it's also impacting the neighborhood councils.
Leila Campos, Office of the City Clerk. I also wanted to add that, you know, the training timeline is also pretty robust. And we will We will make every opportunity available to neighborhood councils to receive training. We will also simultaneously try to train the vendors, Apple One, other vendors that work with the neighborhood councils, in the event that there are neighborhood councils who absolutely do not want to, you know, touch the computer. Then we can have vendors available to assist. And if you notice, there is also FAQ on our website, which we're hoping to continue to build on with your help and the help of the neighborhood council system, so that, you know, other folks within the system can learn from the questions that are being asked and the answers that are being given.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll wait. Go ahead, Commissioner Webby.
Okay. Thank you. I want to thank you for this presentation. I think a great deal of thought has gone into this, and I'm saying that as a former president and treasurer of a neighborhood council. It appears to me that a lot has been streamlined, and I know that there will be issues, as has already been pointed out, but that's always been the case in any change in any procedure. But my question right now has to do with training and the notification that may or may not. You may have already addressed it, but the presentation went by very quickly. Thank you. What notification has gone out to neighborhood council treasurers, and is there a need now for the neighborhood councils to reappoint or address who is going to be their treasurer? I mean, is that something that they need to take up on their agendas?
Leila Campos, Office of the City Clerk. We have not yet announced the training schedule for the new program. There's a lot of training happening right now for the current program. NPGs, events, just the regular NC funding training. Once we are in the stage of training, we will put boots on the ground, we will call, we will email, we will do all the work that we need to do to make sure that we get treasurers on board. I don't see a need for treasurers to be reappointed unless there's a new treasurer coming on board. Andrew, I don't know if you have a different perspective.
I don't. We will be asking treasurers to retrain. It doesn't mean they have to be new treasurers.
And can you give us some, I'll say, a guesstimate at this point of how long the training will take for the treasurer, be it new or existing treasurer?
You mean the time, the amount of minutes the training itself will take?
Yes.
We are hoping to keep it under 2 hours total. That is
lovely.
That is our goal.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Then
just a quick...
Commissioner Atkinson.
Announce myself. Just a quick question or request. So do we have to go look and see where the training is, or since you have to notify people about training, could you send it to the commissioners too? Because maybe we would like to be trained on what's going on. Mm-hmm. Since we get a whole lot of questions, it would be, you know, and of course I'm sort of lazy, so I want it to come. I want you to send it to me. I don't want to have to go look it up in the clerk's website on where the training is. So I would appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I say lazy, because I do too much and I want it sent rather than have to go search.
Mr. Schaefer, I have a couple of questions. So you're cutting off payment on a Sunday, is that correct?
The last day to use your card will be the Sunday, yes, the 11th.
So a weekend. What happens to neighborhood councils that have events that can't be prepaid for between the 11th and the 30th day of June?
We currently still allow for neighbor council board member reimbursements, so that is still an option to be used. And we have a process to accrue for those funds at the end of the year, which will not impact your next budget fiscal year funds.
So what do you do if you have a neighborhood council where no budget, where no board member is currently willing to put out, say, $300 or $400 for something? What do you do for them?
Due to the current time constraint, especially with the transition of the checking account system, there is no process to handle that at the moment.
Your comment was that due to training, you're cutting off on the 10th. Is there any other reason, such as fiscal, physical, or otherwise, that the cards will no longer be available after the 11th?
Because the current cards are a debit card associated with the checking account, when we switch over the checking account to another checking account, those debit cards are no longer linked with that bank account. So that bank account and that card will no longer be available.
So we assume that the accounts are going to be disabled as of whatever time on the 11th. Is that correct? In other words, they will no longer exist.
The card, yes, we are actually canceled. The physical card will exist, but they will not be linked to anything, and our office will be canceling the cards.
Is there any particular reason why the accounts could not be held open until, say, the 29th day of the month?
Currently, our like all of the city, we have a reconciliation process that needs to be conducted. Through multiple trials and errors, we realize that we are not given enough time. There are many errors that are taking place, and we are correcting those errors by asking for more time to do reconciliation. On top of that, we have this deadline to transition over the checking accounts. If we don't have the checking accounts transitioned, I do not believe it's safe to also issue credit cards without a bank account supporting it. So it's a chicken and egg situation here.
And when will the actual new accounts be created?
We are currently working with the bank right now to actually create the account. Our first step is to have the credit cards ready and then deal with the checking account.
Well, when do you expect, relative to July 1st, the accounts being active?
I do not have the answer for you right now, and we will have to come back.
So the cards could be issued, but there's nothing to charge against, and therefore they would be useless until the accounts are open.
So the credit cards are still credit-based. So it's a system process right now. I can't give you an answer for that because we don't have one at the moment.
Okay, then let me ask you this question. Those neighborhood councils that have automatic payments that occur, say, within the first 15 days of the month, what is going to happen to those automatic payments if there's no card attached to any account and they can't be charged to anything?
So the goal is to have the new cards ready by July 1st. The new credit cards will be ready by July 1st.
So what we're saying then is that there is some account that they're going to be linked to, or some amount of credit they're going to be linked to, that they are going to your goal is to have them there, correct? Well, let me ask you a question then. Is the system currently developed, or is it being developed as we're going on? In other words, is all your software in place, or is it being written as we're speaking?
Leila Campos, the portal is being developed as we speak. Pretty much the foundation has been laid out already with the portal. So if we were thinking of changes that would impact that, that's not possible at the moment. Okay. I think that given, obviously the deadlines are tight, and I've heard neighborhood council's concerns on this. It is going to take a little bit of planning on the NC's part, but there's also, we can explore ways that we can work with the specific neighborhood councils on how to address some of the issues that you're raising, Commissioner Schaefer.
Yeah, because we know that we can't pay for things in advance, except
Correct.
With certain specific permission.
Correct.
Therefore, anything that's going to come due sometime between, say, July 1 and July 15,
right.
We may be in trouble.
Correct. Correct.
And things could be canceled, such as phone lines, emails, and things of that nature.
Right. Right. Okay. So we will go back. We will look at every neighborhood council situation, look at the payment schedule for the automatic payments, and prepare in that respect. Thank you for that point.
Okay. Another question, if I might. How many neighborhood councils do you have represented in your working group?
Nine neighborhood councils. There's nine. We wanted to look at the seven planning areas, the way that you are divided, and choose from there.
And so you've got somebody from at least every planning area?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We have four, well, a few more from the Valley, okay. Because...
I'm interested in your MER being generated. I've been to numerous neighborhood council meetings, and I look around for the MER that's being approved, and perhaps the MER is there, but there's no supporting documents.
Right.
which according to the department, the MER and the supporting documents must be approved by the Neighborhood Council Board.
Correct.
What happens if nobody bothers to turn in the documents?
The receipts?
Those things, yeah.
Go ahead.
The system is set up, Andrew Choi, City Office of the City Clerk, the system is set up that you will not be able to generate the MERs unless all of the supporting documents have already been submitted.
So in other words, if I go out and use my card at five different places and submit four receipts, and I put those receipts, what, online, I scan them or something and send them in?
Yes, our system takes PDF and also image files.
Okay, so then I'll ask you another question beyond that. So if I put in four or five receipts, my MER does not come out.
You will not be able to generate it. Once you click on it, it will notify you you are missing this receipt and ask you to submit it before generating the MER.
And I presume that the action would be the same if for 3 months those MERs are not complete because the transactions haven't been. There will be consequences to the neighborhood councils just as though they're not filing the current MER?
That is part of the policy review. We are looking into what measures to take if documentations are missing.
And you have arrangements or can make arrangements for those neighborhood councils that say we do not have somebody who is currently using a computer. We normally submit our documents by snail mail. You will have some way for them to either submit those documents or you will have something that won't cost them money so that they can get them submitted?
So, Leila Campos, so with respect to that, and I kind of want to go back to one of the principal points that, you know, historically neighborhood councils have asked for, which is consistency. For this system to work, I think we have to remain consistent in the way that information is going to come in and the way information is going to go out. So that will be the way to submit is via the portal. What we're prepared to do, as I mentioned earlier, is train volunteers, train the vendors that we work with so that they're prepared to assist a neighborhood council who's not able to manage the system or does well with a computer. And part of also our training, part of our ask of neighborhood councils is look at, when you look at your treasurer, I mean, certainly look at the type of capacity that's going to, you know, help you do this work. When you choose a president, typically you want somebody who knows how to run a meeting and is familiar with Robert's Rules of Order or any kind of parliamentary procedure. Equally so, when we look at a treasurer, this is kind of, you know, the role that we are going to be developing for treasurers and the ability to be able to use a system is going to be integral. But we are prepared with support, again, by vendors, by staff, you know, however we can accommodate that, but ultimately we do one entryway.
Okay. These questions have been posed to me by different neighborhood councils. That's why I'm taking the time to ask them here. You're looking at a 20-day period to train 97 treasurers and second signers and whoever happens to be the cardholder. Let's look at experience over the last number of years. What are your realistic expectations, if you have them, with regards to getting that done? Where are you going to hold these trainings? Down here from 6 to 8 at night, out in the field, on weekends? When are you going to be holding those trainings? Because, you know, if you've got a 9-to-5 job and it happens to be in Simi Valley, getting to downtown is not very, you know, feasible at 6 o'clock at night. You just aren't going to make it. So what are your plans for reaching out to the neighborhood councils to get that training done?
Well, certainly, you know, we're aiming for 100% numbers, compliance with the training. Realistically, I don't know. I haven't dealt with you know, 60-75%. But because my goal is to really get to everyone, I think one of the things that we're doing differently than perhaps past instances when we've trained neighborhood councils is we really are looking at all possible hours and all possible areas of the city. We are planning on spending those 3 weeks, 4 weeks, really just focused on training. We're partnering with neighborhood councils to find facilities that have computers available because we want to make it a hands-on type training. We'll be holding trainings in the city facilities that have computers, and we are looking at working on the weekends as well to make sure that we get to everyone. The percentage that is sort of going to not sort of fall through, we'll prepare in addition to how to deal with that. But right now, I'm really focused on let's train the first on board, the first people that are really cut out for this, and maybe enlist them to help us work with everyone else.
May I suggest you find places with good Wi-Fi so that people can bring their own laptops, those who have them. Then I'm going to pose one more. And you can tell me, you're going to start training after Sunday the 11th. I presume if you're going to do something that gives you max time, you're going to be holding training sessions that very first week after the 11th. Reasonably, what is your expectation that your portal can go live as of the 12th of June? Because if you're going to have people online doing it from their computers, your portal's got to be live for them to be able to do it. Either that or you've got to have one heck of a good simulation.
So our training will not only be just on the portal, but it will also introduce the new policies and the procedures. Our goal is to, whatever we do train on, we hope that the training will be able to then onboard a treasurer to use the system as soon as it is goes live. We don't have an answer for you for if it'll be a starting June 12th. It will be live, but we do plan on training starting from that week. We will be advertising our trainings and also informing this commission and also the treasurers and the presidents within late May, early June, so everyone will be able to schedule in time to do the training.
And before I call on Commissioner Sinclair, I have one last question that came to mind. What's Plan B? Do you have a Plan B for July 1?
We do have a Plan B.
Is that a secret plan? Well, never mind. But you actually do have a contingency plan, presuming this does not go live July 1.
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's good to know. Commissioner Sinclair.
I'm just wondering if you can do training without having it live. Could you start it earlier before the drop-dead date of cutting it off to try to get more people, have a longer time period?
We can certainly talk to our systems folks and see if a simulator might be possible. So we'll take it back and look into that.
Another idea was to maybe try to put it at the same time as neighborhood council meetings. So maybe you could even, do it right before or something that people might be able to be available if you actually traveled out or had reps travel out to different neighborhood council meetings, because
right.
A lot of the people will probably be there.
Right. Yeah. We may also, partner with neighborhood empowerment and see if they'll assist to sure. With the training component.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. If there's nothing, I have one last. And when you do come up with some idea for those neighborhood councils that need to expend money between the 11th and the 30th of June, could you let people know that such a system is in place so they can plan for it and we can figure out how to do it? Because there are those neighborhood councils that are going to need to know that.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions? All right. Don't leave. Have a seat. We've got some people who want to speak, and maybe they'll bring up some questions that you'll want to come back and answer. Olga, That's Olga Gary English?
Gadai.
Okay.
Good afternoon. So my name is Olga Gadai English. I'm the interim executive director for the four theaters in the Hollywood Hills. And I'm here because...
excuse me. I'm sorry. I was just looking... Have a seat. I was looking at some other cards. We have one card that was turned in on number 11. Wayne, you're going to... Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Wayne, which don't you wish to speak to because you already had five cards in?
Well, we'll speak on this one.
You want to speak on this one?
Yeah.
What do you want, a minute?
A minute.
Okay, we'll figure out which one
okay,
gets knocked off. Okay.
Yes, good questions. I think this thing is posed to be a major failure. And I think the bank is Wells Fargo, right? We're doing this contract to Wells Fargo from
Union Bank.
Oh, it's going to be Union Bank? Oh, okay. So I used to bank with them. Crappy bank. Ran by absolute degenerate scumbags. At another time, I'll elaborate. But anyway, how you're not going to let these people spend money for almost a month? 96 neighborhood councils, frozen funds for the remainder of the fiscal year. Now, you guys need to do that with Herb Wesson and the city council. Freeze all their funds and let these guys spend their money. That's the way to do it. So, anyway, you can issue them credit cards. Just issue them credit cards with a line of credit and pay it back later. That's what I do.
Okay, now we'll move on to number 12, and sorry for the confusion there. Discussion and possible action to approve Hollywood United Council bylaw amendment adjustment for an adjustment to their western boundary. Basically, what it appears is they wish to have a shared facility, that is the Ford Theater, and that's what they're looking for. Department, who's going to be representing the department on this?
Myself.
Okay. Mike Fong for the department.
Mike Fong with the Department of Neighbor Empowerment. Thank you very much, Commissioner Schaefer. We have a memo here and a report. The department recognizes that the Hollywood United Neighbor Council concerns regarding the Ford Amphitheater and its expansion may have an impact on traffic throughout the Hollywood United Western area. In terms of the proposed overlap, this is something that conforms to the plan. And under the plan, Article 3, Section 2A, boundaries, indicates that two or more certified neighbor councils may not overlap with each other unless the area for proposed boundaries of two, unless it includes a space that's designed for public use, such as a park, school, library, police, or fire station, or a landmark or facility with historical significance. This historic theater is designed for public use and is owned by the County of Los Angeles in partnership with the city's Department of Recreation and Parks Foundation and the Ford Theater Foundation. So the department recommends that the Board of Neighbor Commissioners find the Hollywood United Neighbor Council's request to change their boundaries consistent with the principles governing a certified neighbor council purpose and operations per Article 3, Section 2A of the plan for system-wise neighbor councils, and to approve the bylaws change.
Questions? Well, let's first, is there someone here from Hollywood United?
Yes, that's me.
Okay, that's George, right? Why don't you come on up,
George.
Since you're part of this process. And give us a 3-minute dissertation on why.
Okay, I have some, first of all, our neighborhood council president, I only have 6 of these, so people are gonna have to share a few, but our neighborhood council president, Susan Swan, unfortunately has to take care of her invalid mother-in-law, so I am here representing
Hollywood United. My name is George Scarpellis. I'm the vice president of Hollywood United. And my points are specific on three areas. One, we currently have a portion of the Ford within our boundaries, and as such, we feel that it should be extended. The entire portion should be shared. Secondly, of all the areas in the our community that's most impacted by what goes on at the Ford, it is the Hollywood Dell, which is wholly inside the Hollywood United Neighborhood Council boundaries. And thirdly, there is precedent for something like this before in a shared facility in an overlay zone. The first thing I want to talk about is the area. If you look at the first page of the large handout, that shows the two the two neighborhood council maps as they show the boundary maps. And the second page is a blow-up of the area. And I have this made up. And this here, right here, is Pilgrimage Road. This comes from Dunn and from Bo Punks and Hollywood Hills West Neighborhood Council websites. And this here is where the Ford is. So I just wanted to show that we are kind of already part of that, even though we don't have the shared facility status. And if you look at an actual picture, and this is the fourth page, you can see here is the boundary. This is Hollywood Hills West. Here's Hollywood United. And this is the actual Ford Theater complex it is. Now, there are certain areas such as the parking here and some buildings. Of course, this is going to change with the expansion. But we are already a part of this, so as a such, we should have some kind of shared facility on it. In terms of the impact, if you look at the last page, or last couple of pages of the 8.5-11 sheet, you'll see the Hollywood United Neighborhood Council map. And they show the Ford Theater here, and it's right next to it. There is no community more impacted by what goes on at the Ford than the Hollywood Dell. And the Hollywood United Neighborhood Council, this is the westernmost edge of the Hollywood United Neighborhood Council. If there's parking, if there's traffic, if there's noise, it will impact that portion of the Dell more than any other place. And specifically, they had to put in permit parking district. Can I get just a few more minutes, another minute, please? I was given 5?
1 minute.
Okay, 1 minute. Anyways, permit parking specifically because of issues with parking with the both at the Ford and also at the Bowl. And finally, in terms of a precedent, if you look at the last page of the oversized one, you'll see that Barnsdall Park is shared by both East Hollywood and Los Feliz Neighborhood Councils. Specifically, a shared facility with an overlay zone. So this precedent exists for other facilities of this nature. That's all I have.
Okay.
Question? Or if you'd like to have anybody else talk?
No, not at the moment, not yet. Any comments from the commission? Questions?
Yeah.
Of whom? Of staff? Or otherwise? Or just
I have a question specifically on the application.
On the application, okay.
Should that wait until after we hear public comment, or
no?
At what point?
No. Do you wish to direct your question to the applicant or to staff?
I'd like to direct mine to the applicant, please.
Applicant.
Okay. Then we'll ask Commissioner.
You want to start?
Yeah. No.
Commissioner Littman.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much, sir. Two questions. One's more of a They're both clarification questions. On section 2 of the neighborhood outreach to the proposed area as part of the application, the answer to question number 4 was, the question was, were efforts made to collaborate with other certified or forming neighborhood councils that are also outreaching the proposed area? And the answer was yes and unsuccessful. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, well, you know, part of this goes back to a time when I wasn't there, but I do have some knowledge of this. This is part of a larger boundary change they were talking about, including DWP lands and stuff. And I think that we decided let's just deal with the Ford as one thing. They were
rejected out of hand by Hollywood Hills West, but I think that was basically because of the DWP lands. And I think they just said, you know what, note all of this stuff. But we have made outreach, and we have president has called Anastasia Mann, who's the president of Hollywood Hills West. They are longtime friends. They've known each other for over a decade, so certainly they are familiar with each other. And she's wanted to do this, but there's been pushback. And my suspicion is, you know, nobody really wants to change things, you know. And I understand that from an institutional reason, but ours is more trying to get that shared facility so that we can have a proper oversight from a neighborhood council standpoint. Okay.
And thank you. And my second question, thank you for these blow-up maps, by the way. This is really fantastic.
It took a little bit of work, but... You know.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And I wish the department maybe provided some of the... No, I'm kidding. No, but I guess it's helpful, but... It brings up some confusion for me and maybe some of the other commissioners because the way that I view it, or what I'm seeing is that the boundary request is this little, the boundary adjustment request is this sort of sliver of houses, what looks like houses actually, in this little sliver area. But what's being sort of shown here is that the Ford Theater is actually sort of further up. It's the Ford Theater is actually in Central or in Hunk.
Hollywood
West. Yeah.
Yes. So can I address that? So
yeah.
Just so you can understand, here is the Ford Theater is right here.
Yeah.
Right? And then this here is parking for the Ford, and this here is additional parking and administrative office.
Sure.
Inside of the Ford. So the Ford itself as a facility is within our boundaries, although we don't have neighborhood council oversight for it. But this whole area is not within our.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that we have a shared facility for the Ford Theater entirely. And that would include a boundary change for that little triangle area, I guess is what I'm saying is included in there. Does that explain it? There is no housing. The closest housing is here, which is in the Hollywood Dell, which is the most impacted area. This portion at the bottom here is Cahuenga Terrace, and this is Cahuenga and the freeway here. And this area here is where the greatest impact is.
That's not what I'm
saying. Okay, Commissioner Wehby.
That's not what I'm saying.
Having the background knowledge of your area, being that I'm from the Central Hollywood Neighborhood Council and know Anastasia and Susan very well. I understand the issue and I understand the request, but I do have a question based on your application.
Right.
And it has to do with the outreach. Now, I'm not faulting the fact that there doesn't appear to have been outreach to Hollywood Hills West or there isn't any formalized outreach based on the application. But I understand that you're indicating here that there has been conversation between the two presidents on a friendly basis. And
there was a meeting also, too.
Thank you. But from your knowledge, has there been appropriate communication or formal communication between Hollywood United's board and Hollywood Hills West's board to give Hollywood Hills West enough time? And as you've indicated, there are new people on each board, perhaps not familiar with old times, enough time so that the stakeholders in Hollywood Hills West would be informed of this proposed change.
I believe we have, but I also want to emphasize we're not looking to take away their authority whatsoever.
No, I understand
we just
that,
want
but
to
that's
share.
Not the question I'm asking.
Right, I understand. And so I think there's been ample opportunities. There have been discussions for over a year. They've talked about it. like I said, there was once a meeting about additional things, but
I'm sorry, that's not the question I'm asking. No, specifically, I'm just asking if there's been official communication between the two neighborhood councils informing Hollywood Hills West that, in fact, you were filing this application. And I'm not faulting if there hasn't been that.
I believe there has been, but Susan Swan is really the one who's been in charge of that. And and like I said, she really wanted to be here, but she's been unfortunately having to deal with her invalid mother-in-law for the past, I don't know, month or so.
I understand, and I appreciate you being here and representing your neighborhood council, and I understand your issue and the will
right.
that you're bringing from your stakeholders. It's a matter of notification that I'm just trying to clarify and understand if there's actually been that official communication.
Right, and so are you saying were letters sent out and those kinds of things? And I think they've chosen, Susan chose that because they are such friends and they are such longtime friends to have this not take on a nature that's sort of combative and procedural, but be one of a friendly kind of outreach, and I think that was her motivation for doing it that way.
Well, I appreciate the way that you're presenting and explaining the issue. I think at this point, we'll see if there are any other questions and any other input. Go ahead.
I apologize. Go ahead. No, you guys, I already had a chance. Go ahead.
Commissioner Sinclair here. Can you give me an example of what you mean by wanting oversight? Like, what kind of issues are happening there?
Right. So the main issue was happened a few years ago with the planned expansion of the Ford, which was significant. The Dell really wasn't given much notice about it, and they presented to other places, but because as the neighborhood council, you know, and most responsible to the Dell, we were not really as apprised of it. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't any kind of outreach to us, but I believe that if it is a shared facility, that outreach would be an automatic outreach. Like, they would necessarily come to the neighborhood council and say, hey, we're going to put in a parking structure, or we're going to change hours of operations, we're going to do something like that. And so I believe that in formalizing this as a shared facility, any of these kinds of things would necessarily come to us, and then we could elicit a feedback and advice from our neighborhood council stakeholders so that we know what it is they want or what their concerns are, and we could, you know, give those concerns to what's going on at the Greek, both now and in the future. And what we want to do is not have to deal with this after the fact, but deal with it, you know, in anticipation of any of these changes that may take place.
Other questions?
I guess.
Commissioner Lippman?
I'm still struggling with the issues of boundaries specifically. From what I can see on the maps, and please correct me if I'm wrong, what I can see from the maps is that the Ford Theater and the written section, which is actually technically what the department goes by, not maps,
right.
The written section says that your existing boundaries are along the eastern side of the John Anson Ford Theater property line through Lake Hollywood to include the Lake Hollywood Neighborhood Association and north to the Hollywood sign.
I think that's what right? you're positioning
so,
for.
Yes. No, that seems to be what the current boundaries are.
I believe not. I think in the added language of the John Anson Ford Amphitheater, mentioning that as a boundary is new. The current one, I think, is slightly different, and I unfortunately don't have,
because what I'm seeing from, and these are the current maps, is the Ford Theater is within the boundaries of Hollywood United, which is what you said earlier, but the parking is not, which I understand that, and I would get the reason. It makes sense logically for me to say yes, the parking for this facility should be a shared facility, but what I'm seeing in the application is something different. What I'm seeing in the application is a request, and the map that I see is a request to include a residential area
right
below it, where oddly the 101 free, the boundary, this sort of residential area, which is between Cahuenga Boulevard and the 101 freeway, which it seems odd that it would be part of the other side of the freeway, but that seems to be the application that of the map that I'm seeing. And, you know,
that's in the application. This is what Susan Swan prepared. I'm unclear about that. My understanding of this is, once again, I have to beg your understanding about some of this because I was asked to present on Friday.
No, I understand.
What my understanding was, we're petitioning only for the shared facility of the Ford. So
okay.
If she did that, it may that some people may be graphically challenged and may not necessarily.
Okay. So then I guess my question then is now to the department, because I've done boundary adjustments before from my neighborhood council, and I know that the department goes by, and this is in the plan, goes by the written description, not a map, of the boundary trains. And I don't see, the only written description of right now that I see is the existing boundary, which still says the eastern side of the John Anson Ford property line. I don't see what the adjustment would be, because, you know, there's two possibilities here. I mean, it could just be this little section of Cahuenga, you know, and the parking right here. Or it could be, you know, you guys want to take all of the lake. I it's not really clear unless I see a written description of the boundary adjustment. So the department needs to...
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I would need to see a written description, because right now, as I am seeing it, it includes this residential district, which, you know, I mean, one could argue, yeah, sure, that should be part of Hunk because it's on that side of the freeway, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something completely
Cahuenga
different.
Cahuenga is our area. And,
yeah.
And I don't think that is...
Okay.
They aren't asking for that. That's a little area of, I think, Whitley Heights, technically. And I don't think that's what we're...
So then... Yeah, so if Whitley Heights is not included, then and this mapping is inaccurate, but I guess what I'm trying to understand then is what would be, you know, yeah, is that
so
that's the continuation of Cahuenga and...
The question is what are the boundaries of this homeowners association? And that's what it seems to me, being
of
familiar with
Hollywood
the area.
Dell Civic Association?
No. When it talks about the... along the 101 freeway north through Lake Hollywood to include Lake Hollywood Neighborhood Association and north to Hollywood Sign, how is one to know what the boundaries are of the Lake Hollywood Neighborhood Association without having...
And I'm sure there is a certain, you know... fleshiness to that. I would say,
yeah, well, that's what
you know,
I apologize for cutting you off, and maybe Len wants to step in. I don't think this isn't a question now for you necessarily, because I think you've answered our questions pretty well. I think this is a question for staff who kind of prepared this, and there's some issues that...
Can I jump in for just a moment? Yeah. Just a moment. Reading specifically from the 2011 bylaws of Hollywood United, the western boundary is Cahuenga Avenue at Hollywood Boulevard to the 101 freeway, north along the eastern side of the John Anson Ford Theater property line through Lake Hollywood to include the Lake Hollywood Neighborhood Association and north to the Hollywood sign. Those are their official bylaws, unless they've been amended since 2011. I'm reading directly from them. So what we're being told here is that the Ford Theater is currently a shared space,
yeah.
But only the parking lot area is not.
I'm sorry, repeat that again.
It says 101 freeway north along the eastern side.
Yeah.
Of the John Hanson Ford Theater
eastern
property
side.
Line.
So
the
what
map,
they're saying is
that might have been repaired.
They're saying the eastern side.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
So, but that, I mean, that's not what the map show.
Have a seat. But that is the description in the 2011 bylaws.
So it's no different than the application.
No, it is. It
is
because we want.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
Let the commissioner speak.
Excuse me. Now, what they want to do is they want to move to the
west.
If you take a look,
I understand.
This map, the top of the map is north.
Got
and
it.
If you look to your left, that's west. If you look to the right,
yes.
That's
yes.
east. What they want to do is move their boundary west to include the theater and the parking area.
Yeah.
That's what they wish to do.
Thank
according
you.
To their current bylaws and the application.
Right. Yeah.
So they want to make, based on the description of their bylaws and the application,
yeah.
what they're asking for is to make the entirety of the Ford Theater and the parking area part of a shared facility.
Thank you so much.
What it appears.
And that's starting to make sense. What now means is incorrect is that whoever... The city engineer who drew this map drew it incorrectly.
Yeah, that's
correct.
That could well be. Commissioner Sinclair.
Okay, so currently the Ford Theater is not then in the existing neighborhood council.
That's correct.
Area.
Okay.
Drawing
now,
correctly. It should
okay.
actually be.
I would like to put a question or two to staff.
Hang on.
I'm going to ask staff one specific question. This is a boundary change, and I did not see in your description how it, and I think it may, but how it comports with Article 6, 2A of the plan. And that sets Article 6, 2A sets the three criteria for the reason, for the primary reasons, but it says not limited to, and gives three examples. One is including an uncertified adjacent community, which we're not looking at, reconfiguring based upon population decrease or increase, which we are not looking at, increasing or reducing a certified neighborhood council size to increase effectiveness and efficiency. That may be what we're looking at because they wish to aid a particular portion of their neighborhood, which is this Hollywood Dell, which will be impacted by future action at the Ford Theater and its parking areas. I just want to make sure that the department would be in conformity with that thought. Because I didn't see anything in your description that's one of the reasons for this application and one of the reasons that you approved this application. Because based on their application, Hollywood Dell came to them and spoke to them or what have you because they're worried about what happens with increased, and he mentioned it, with increased parking and traffic, and apparently there's some hiking trails up there and everything else that might be affected. So I would assume that this would increase their effectiveness at least within some specific portion of their neighborhood council.
Absolutely. I think Mike Fong with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Thank you, Commissioner Schaefer, for the information on Article 6, 2A. I think absolutely your comments would help bolster their application.
Okay. I'll make a comment. The comment is that according to the plan, the citywide plan for neighborhood councils, at the time Hollywood United was formed, had they so desired, and I don't know which was formed first, Hollywood United or Hollywood West? Who was formed first?
Hollywood Hills West.
Hollywood Hills West, okay. They could have overlapped because this fits within the overlap criteria for boundaries for a shared facility. So it's not something they couldn't have done a long time ago. I will also say that I have seen a number of email exchanges between Hollywood United and Hollywood West in the last, about week and a half. So I do know that there is communication and that people have been aware of this for some period of time. Lastly, if you didn't get it, I will state that we did get a letter from Supervisor Sheila Kuehl's office with regards to this for the commission and the commissioners and the public. I did speak with one of her deputies today over the phone and explained the plan and how overlaps work and such as that. And it was acknowledged that there was concern, and they just wanted to make sure that the process was fair and beneficial to all. So that's one comment I should make, because I did have that conversation with her name is Rachel, but I didn't get her last name, from the supervisor's office. Any other comments before we have public comment? Okay. Did you have a comment?
Yeah, I did.
I would also say that I have been copied on emails between the presidents of each of the neighborhood councils and various board members. I'm assuming there were various board members have been copied. I have been sent the communication between the council members. And in those communications, it has appeared to me that the biggest difficulty that they are encountering is the sense that they were not just the sense that there wasn't early notification. And I would hope that at some point that we might be able to look either, you know, both with our subdivisions and perhaps boundary requests in the future at addressing a policy, if appropriate, for this body to add early notification so that it is not the onus of the applicant, but that some procedure be set so that there is required outreach or early notification to any entity that may be affected so that they would know and that we would know that they were notified at a certain time so that this doesn't become what could be construed as miscommunication between neighbors, because there are neighbors.
That is something we would have to explore as to whether or not that would be interfering with the day-to-day activities of the department, or if we could announce that as a policy for neighborhood councils, which obviously couldn't apply to forming neighborhood councils because they aren't neighborhood councils yet. But that would be something that we would have to explore with the city attorney and their interpretation of the charter and such as that. Deputy City Attorney Hawkins.
Yeah, Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins. I just want to remind the commissioners to please identify yourself for the listening public before you begin to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now on to Olga. I'll call you back up again. Come on back up. Thank you. You got a couple of minutes? You got 2 minutes to talk to us.
Commissioner, do you mind? May I put a comment in, please, before she speaks?
Commissioner Littman?
I'm just reading through the bylaws for Hollywood Hills West NC, and it's not clear that the Ford Theater is actually within the boundaries of Hollywood Hills West NC, according to their bylaws. And it's also not clear, according to the bylaws of HUNC, Hollywood United, that it's within their boundaries, because their bylaws say the eastern boundary, right, which would say that. So I actually think the map is incorrect, and it's technically if I'm reading this correct, and I'd like the department to look into this, it's technically an orphaned area. So I actually think what I would like to see happen is that we table this as a commission. I'd love to hear from the public, but my thinking right now is that we table this, that the department actually takes a look at these written boundaries, and that they actually talk to both neighborhood councils and say, oh, by the way, this was a clerical error. It's technically an orphan area. Why don't we make this a shared resource and both of you get along so that we don't have this fighting that's happening? And this may have just become down to a complete misunderstanding, which I don't know the politics of any of this, so I'm stepping into some doo-doo that I don't even know about. But what I'm saying is there may have been a clerical error, and the intent of both Hunk and Hollywood Hills is to have this as a shared resource, and there may be an opportunity to come up with a solution that makes everyone, including the Ford Theater, and maybe you have a completely different solution, maybe you don't want to be in any neighborhood council, but that could do that. So maybe we may need to take a step back and table this and let the department do some more research, because from what I'm reading, it's not clear.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
If I may point out, please. Within the plan, Article 6, 2B,
yes,
in essence states that the petitions will be reviewed by the department, that within 15 days of receipt, they will forward it to the commission for consideration at its next regularly scheduled meeting. It goes on to say if the commission approves, boundary deemed change. If the commission rejects, they can take action to appeal to the city council. Now, while it appears somewhat ambiguous, I would have to say that probably that says that upon it being given to us at our next regular meeting, we act one way or the other at that meeting. Perhaps the deputy city attorney, if she wishes to, could say I'm wrong, but I think that is what it says, and therefore we must do something one way or the other. The plan puts into effect a time limit on us.
Okay. Understood, but there may be a clerical error here, and the plan doesn't talk about a clerical error.
I understand that, and if there is, then perhaps it would have to be corrected at a later time.
I have Commissioner Atkinson.
Yes, Commissioner Atkinson.
I have a question. On this plan that we've been talking about today, are homeowners affected, homes affected, or are we just really talking about the shared jurisdiction over the Ford Theater? Are we taking homes away and putting into another neighborhood
or taking out?
So in other words, we're just talking about a shared facility. And even though the boundaries, I mean, it may be a clerical error, in the end, all we're saying is that we want to agree that these two neighborhood councils share in the jurisdiction, so to speak, of the Ford Theater. That's all we're saying. So if it doesn't affect homeowners and being switched from one neighborhood council to the other, I just don't understand the difficulty. I've been listening to everybody and haven't said too much. I'm just trying to figure out what's the problem. I mean, I understand the clerical error in the way the maps were drawn, but that doesn't seem to be the issue because the Ford Theater is still where it is and the neighborhood councils are still where they are. And neither one is clear on who has jurisdiction over the Ford Theater, and so we're just saying, well, you're going to share jurisdiction. So I can't see what the issue is or what the problem is in okaying the Dunn's request that we adopt the change to the bylaws.
Okay.
Commissioner Wehby, I believe that you have succinctly pulled it together. And I believe that Commissioner Lippman is coming from a different approach, looking at two neighborhood councils that have been established for 15 years with presidents that have been serving for, not consistently, but definitely been in those positions for numerous years, and looking at a resolution that is both legal, we would think, and viable, and would also save those who are working side by side from having feelings of resentment and animosity, particularly with new boards that don't understand the issues or the legalities of the procedures which our president has just brought to issue. So we are really looking at two separate pieces. Cut and dry, one thing. Is there a solution that will take care of what is absolutely the cut and dry legality, and at the same time give these 15-year-old neighborhood councils a way of continuing to work together and keep the new board members enthusiastic and feeling as though they've been heard?
Commissioner Atkinson, you've now hit upon an issue that I gripe about at every board meeting. We need leadership training and leadership between maybe neighborhood councils to say, let's sit down and let's talk about it. It doesn't mean that the process has to stop. It just means let's get together and find out what those issues are, learn how to speak to each other, do leadership training, which I, you know, everybody knows that I harp on it all the time. And but that shouldn't stop the process of the shared facility, because it's not, I mean, you can have a number of meetings and maybe they'll come together since the presidents know each other. Maybe, you know, they'll say, okay, this is great. And then a month from now, we'll be here doing what we should, what we could do today, which is okay this. I mean, I just don't see how, or maybe extra time. I don't, you know, maybe you're saying a little extra time so the presidents can speak to each other and the animosities could be, you know, set aside and all that kind of stuff.
Commissioner Wahibi, just the opposite. I would hope in the long run that we would set a procedure that would allow any affected neighborhood council outside of that entity that's petitioning, so that in this case, so that it would have been required somewhere in the process that the other neighborhood council would have known that this application was actually sent in.
Commissioner Atkinson,
they would know that from the beginning,
so I have a
and
question.
Wouldn't hear about it at the beginning of this week, so that they would have a chance to talk about it, agendize it, have it at their board, and at least have an opportunity to notify their stakeholders that this was something that was coming up.
So you're saying Hollywood West didn't know anything about this?
Correct. In the formal process.
Right.
And I'm not faulting anyone here because
doesn't have
it is not something that is currently required.
Okay.
So it's just, I think that we would, in our subdivisions and any boundaries changes, that if we have an opportunity later for that, it would make things go a lot smoother.
Okay. I think we'll discuss that at a later time.
Okay.
As it stands before us now, we are looking at, and I don't have a detailed map to be able to follow the boundary of Hollywood Hills West, but we are looking at this application. Let's go on with our cards. We have people sitting here. Olga, please reintroduce yourself and go forward.
Hi, my name is Olga Garay English, and I am the interim executive manager of the Ford Theaters. I'm here today because in talking with the 3rd District Supervisor's office this morning, they pointed out to me that Supervisor Kuehl had asked for this item to be deferred. There seems to be a lot of confusion. There seems to not have been a real proper way of having one council appeal to the body versus two presidents talking to each other.
It just seems like a very muddled situation at this juncture, and in deference to Supervisor Kuehl, I would ask that you all consider putting this issue apart so that we can get all of the maps correct and get all the procedures that need to be in place. I also was shown the emails that have been going back and forth for the last week or so, and the president of the Hollywood Hills Council kept saying, this is not my decision to make. This is something that the body should make, that the Hollywood Council, you know, neighborhood council body should make. And I think that that hasn't taken place. And so there's no reason to rush into this. I think a lot of it, of the issue surrounds a planned hiking trail, but that's not going to start being undertaken for at least 3 or 4 years. The money isn't in place, and so there's no real rush to make a decision today. And I would just ask that, you know, this commission defer the action till more clarity can be brought forth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Atkinson. I'm sorry.
We have another card.
Commissioner Atkinson, understanding.
Commissioner Atkinson, we have another public speaker. Can we have a public speaker?
So I can't comment. Oh, so I can't comment now.
If you wish to comment, brief comment. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh no, I was just saying that understanding that the Hollywood West doesn't feel that they have been fully involved in this process, which I didn't understand until you mentioned it, Commissioner Wiebe. Because everybody should be involved and have an opinion. And in the end, I think it will probably work out all right, but everybody needs to participate, and I agree.
Could I suggest that we wait for commission, and maybe a motion can be made, and we have commission comment? Because that begins to sound like asking for consent.
So, yes, I would like to move to table this item until the next board meeting.
I second.
I think so. Okay. Let's get our public speakers, and then let's do something. Wayne, if you speak here, Wayne, you'll have to give up one of your others. I'm sorry.
On your agenda packet number 12, all the boxes are blank. Yes. It says that incomplete applications will be returned to the neighborhood council. They don't answer any of the questions at the little boxes. All the little boxes have no checks in them. Look at that. Look at the sloppiness. And, you know, you're getting good training when you're this sloppy, because there's a city attorney. His name is City Attorney Hall in Van Nuys. He does the same thing in criminal filings against the people of the city of Los Angeles as you do to the people here in the city. Yes, look at that. It's all blank. See, now you go to the one with the people from Palms. Ah, now there's the way you do it. All completed, check the boxes, dot your I's, cross your T's. See that? So as a matter of law, this application under state law is ultra vires and void, because you cannot violate the state charter. A municipal corporation cannot do that. If they do, it is void. You're right, Mr. Lippman. The application must be denied.
All right. Unfortunately, Mr. Bailey, the timekeeper says you have used your 5 minutes.
I used 1 minute on number 8, and I used less than 3 minutes on number 10.
No. Actually, I believe you used 4 minutes on the other one.
It was 2 minutes, and then another minute, and another minute on top of that.
And any
Commissioner Sinclair? Yeah. Yes, the third minute ended, and you kept talking, and they just put another minute up because it went on.
The clock didn't go in.
It did. I was watching it right here.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm asking 30 seconds on this because I have some information based on my experience.
Unfortunately, if we do...
Well, I didn't get a full minute.
It doesn't matter. It's in 1 minute.
You said that's it. I said one or two more minutes.
I'd like to move that we allow for one additional minute of public comment for all stakeholders.
It's not public comment.
Or one additional minute of allotted time for all stakeholders.
Second, if you need a motion. I second it if you need a motion.
That if you wish to make a motion to overrule the finding of the chair with regards to the fact that the time we have allotted has expired, that would be a proper motion, but you would have to vote that the time had not been allotted. But you cannot make a motion to extend. That is the prerogative of the chair.
I'm not going to make a motion that says you're wrong. Like, I'm just asking for a motion, well, or I'm petitioning the chair to extend it for 1 minute for all stakeholders.
Okay.
That's all.
An extra minute for everybody. Okay.
Well, Commissioner Atkinson, I'll make a motion to overrule the chair and discuss the time. If somebody will second it.
Okay.
And if you don't want to second it, then it goes down. But I think an extra minute is not that much trouble. So I make a motion.
No, you can't grant an extra minute. What you have to find is that the ruling that he had his entire 5 minutes is a fact. You have to overrule that and say that our timekeeper and the chair are incorrect.
So what do I have to say to overrule you?
Yes.
I overrule the chair's decision. I make a motion to overrule the chair.
Correct. And the staff.
I missed something.
Okay, and the staff.
Okay.
I just want to speak for
this. Okay, hang on. Now, if somebody wishes to, they can second the motion to overrule. I'm serious. That's what you have to do.
I second.
Okay. No, no comment on that motion. This is a procedural only. There's a motion on the floor made and seconded to overrule the ruling of the chair that the entire 5 minutes of the speaker had been expended, our policy being that any portion of 1 minute counts as the 1 minute. Okay? Aha. Uh-huh. Therefore, and I'll call for the vote. Unless somebody has a comment with regards to the motion.
I do. Oh, go ahead.
Commissioner Atkinson, you want to make a comment?
Oh, no, I thought we were voting.
Oh, okay.
I just want to give everyone one more minute, and I think this sets a bad precedent to say we're overruling the chair, so I'm a no vote.
Commissioner Atkinson, the only way to get an extra minute is to overrule the chair.
That gives it to one person. You're saying that he did not expend his 5 minutes.
I didn't. The clock didn't move. It's set for
no
three.
No comment from the audience. Right.
Okay. Should we call?
Are you calling for the question?
Call for the vote?
Sure.
Those in favor of the overrule motion, please so signify.
We want to get a minute, an extra minute.
That the ruling of the chair that he expended his 5 minutes is incorrect. You get to do that.
And then he gets an extra minute.
I'm abstaining. I was out of the room when the discussion
started. An abstain is a yes vote at this table.
What?
An abstention is a yes vote at this table.
Commissioner Schaefer, can you please do a roll call vote
okay.
on this matter?
Would you do that?
Commissioner Sinclair?
I'm voting yes on the motion.
Okay. Commissioner Wiebe?
Yes.
Commissioner Lippman?
Yes.
Commissioner Atkinson?
Yes.
And Commissioner Schaefer?
No.
Okay.
Okay, the ruling of the chair is overridden. You have 1 minute.
Thank you. Glenn Bailey, yes.
A half hour, you get 1 minute.
Especially since it took 5 minutes to do it. All right. So in my capacity as president of Northridge East, we've had two shared facility requests approved by this commission. We've had one boundary adjustment approved. They all required the affirmative vote of the neighborhood council that we either were sharing, or in the case of the boundary adjustment, we were taking an area that was another one. It required the affirmative vote of each of the neighborhood councils. Also, the application, so if this is a shared facility, I don't think that this is the right application. If it belongs to nobody and it's a boundary adjustment, it is. So clearly somebody, both the staff, the city engineer, looking at the history, and certainly the neighborhood councils. But all I wanted to say was based on my experience on three separate applications that have gone before this commission, is I had to go, and I personally went to these three neighborhood councils, three different neighborhood councils for three different things. I had to make the presentation. I had to get them to affirmatively vote yes before we could proceed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Long application. We needed that voice of experience.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a motion to make.
What's your motion?
Commissioner Atkinson, I move that we table this item until the next board meeting, if that's enough time to get the corrections made to the boundaries, get the neighborhood councils to talk and agree, and their boards to discuss. I would like to table this.
So you're asking to postpone it to a date certain that is our next meeting?
To a date certain of the next meeting of
the commission.
I'll give it to the next meeting of the board. How'd I say it? For Monday. I don't want it for the next meeting. That's only in 2 weeks. For the next
City Hall meeting?
Next City Hall meeting.
Just to.
I second.
Hang on.
Whatever that date is. It's in here.
It'll be May 15th.
Okay. I'm going to say. That isn't, so you're making a motion to postpone until the 15th of May?
Yes.
There's a second?
I second.
Motion on the floor made by Commissioner Atkinson, seconded by Commissioner Sinclair. Any discussion? Those in favor of the motion so indicate.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Aye. None opposed. It will be tabled until the, or postponed until the 15th day of May.
Can you let the record indicate how, because I'm not certain if that was a unanimous
vote. That was a unanimous vote. None were opposed. Okay, moving on. Item 13, which is a bylaws change for Hollywood United, different from the boundary change.
Oh.
Hollywood United. Where'd it go? They wish to modify their board structure by removing an appointed seat of historian parliamentary and replacing it with one additional elected unclassified stakeholder status seat. Which means, according to the board seats would remain at 20, but instead of appointed position, it would be an elected position. And I'm going to ask George to come up and take 2 minutes to tell us why.
I'll make sure I've got the right one. Poor George. Poor George.
Thank you. George Scarpellis, Vice President of Hollywood United Neighborhood Council. The idea behind this was that we had Susan Polifronio was our historian. She was appointed as the historian. She has since, her husband is not doing well, and we thought, well, maybe we should appoint somebody else. And in discussions, we figured, you know, it's better to have an elected member, somebody from the community. And the idea was, especially in this last election, we had quite a few people who wanted to participate. But because we have geographic areas and renters and such, not everybody can, you know, get one of those. So having an additional at-large or unclassified seat would give an opportunity for some of these people who were interested in being part of the Neighborhood Council board to try to be on that and get elected for that board seat. So that's the basic premise. I hope that's enough time.
Any questions by any of the commissioners? Commissioner Webby.
The question is, I understand the reason for that change, and it isn't about that change, but about bylaws in general, because recently it has come to my attention that there is a policy about minutes, and I'm actually going to ask Commissioner Lippman to... anyone who has been here.
What does that have to do with the bylaws?
Well, the bylaws, we would be accepting the bylaws as they're written, correct? Along with that change?
Correct.
And I haven't found in these bylaws the minutes requirement that bonk.
It doesn't matter whether they're in here or not. Our policies are appended to every neighborhood council's bylaws, if we so desire, and that was one of the things we did with that, and therefore, whether it's written here or not, it is part of their bylaws.
Okay.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
Commissioner Atkinson, I was just curious, was it easier to do the bylaws and say, well, let's cut out the parliamentarian historian and have it as an elected, or how come the board didn't decide to maybe just add an extra elected stakeholder?
They did.
But they took away the parliamentarian historian.
Right, and that became an elected position.
So you couldn't have both? That's my
question. Oh, why didn't they have both? I don't
know. Yeah, that was my question, is why not have both? I mean, it just seems like a parliamentarian historian might be pretty useful for a neighborhood council that's been in existence for such a long time.
Yes. I think the idea really is to have greater participation. And we could certainly have somebody want to take on a historian role of some sort. But I think the idea was really... we really wanted a board member who was committed to being part of it and not just taking on a historian role. And I think that once you sort of pigeonhole somebody into some kind of role, they may not necessarily have the same kind of motivation as somebody who says, no, I'm an elected person and I'm going to run for this off the seat. And, you know, that's the idea.
Commissioner Wahibi. Just as a point of clarification, the individual named that has been the historian there was also part of the formation committee and had put in 15 years. And in that capacity, I think once you establish an individual as your historian and they have been there over and over again, it's difficult for someone to come in and drop into a position listed as historian. And that at least is my understanding of why at this point they're looking to change the title, not necessarily the function.
Okay. I have one question, Commissioner Schaefer. Looking at your Schedule B, I am assuming that all stakeholders, which would include a community interest stakeholders, apparently can run for and vote for this particular position.
Yes, all stakeholders can vote for any of the board members, is my understanding. So that you don't have to be a renter to vote for a renter's representative. No. Anybody in the Hunk district or area boundary can vote for any of those that are open.
But these seats are open to all stakeholders.
But they're open to all stakeholders.
Okay, very good.
We have other ones, too. We have other open ones.
Staff recommendation.
Thank you, Commissioner Schaefer. Mike Fong with the Department of Neighbor Empowerment. Staff recommendation is the Department acknowledges the outreach efforts on the Hollywood United Neighbor Council on these different various board seats, and supports the request to remove the appointed seat of historian parliamentarian and replace an SE with an elected unclassified stakeholder status seat to bring that up to 3 unclassified stakeholder seats, and the board seat total will remain at 20.
Okay. We have one card. Wayne, you have to give up one of the last 3 cards because that'll be 6 instead of 5 minutes, and you've got one for 13, one for 14, and one for 15. What has he got left?
He's got 2 minutes left.
You've got 2 minutes.
You have 3 items.
You've got 2 minutes left. So
you have 3 items, though.
So, but you've got 3 items.
Yeah, because I think we beat up on that
coordinator with the council on that. Okay, we'll put that one aside. Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Then I'm going to invite a motion from the commission, somebody on the commission, with regards to item number 13, which would be to approve. Does anybody want to make the motion as per the language of the agenda item?
I move.
Commissioner Webby?
Thank you. Commissioner Webby, I move to support.
Yeah. No. Just read the agenda item.
Read the agenda item. Okay. I move to support, where is it?
Number
13. To approve Hollywood United Neighborhood Council amendment application which modifies the board structure with the removal of the appointed seat of historian slash parliamentarian and replaces with one additional elected unclassified stakeholder status seat.
Second.
Okay, motion on the floor by Commissioner Webby, seconded by Commissioner Atkinson. Any discussion? No discussion. Those in favor, please so indicate. Any opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you. Moving on. George, thank you for coming. And I'm going to request that the department aid in the outreach effort between Hollywood United and Hollywood West. Can you do that?
Mike Fong with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Thank you, Commissioner Schaefer. We'll help out with outreach with both neighborhood councils.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
It'll be much smoother when it comes back next time. Oh, and would you please ask them, the engineers and everybody, to look at those definitions and see how where the map actually leads?
Thank you, Commissioner Schaefer. Mike Fong with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. We'll work with the Bureau of Engineering on those 2 maps. And
okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on. Item number 14. Discussion, possible action to approve proposed Palms Neighborhood Council bylaw amendment application to replace 3 specific business seats to 2 at-large seats and 1 youth seat representative aged 14 to 23 years. That is the agenda item. Do we have a representative of Palms here? We do. And would that be Mr. Who is this?
Nick Grief.
This is Nick? Nick Grief? I've seen that name before. We just never met. I don't believe. Nick, why don't you come on up? Are you representing the neighborhood council?
I am.
Okay. If you would explain to us, please, what you want to do and why you want to do it.
Great. Thank you, commissioners, and thank you for having me this afternoon. Nick Grief with the Palms Neighborhood Council. And the former chair of the Bylaws and Ground Rules Ad Hoc Committee, which has been since dissolved after we sent them all to you. So today what's in front of you is just a minor change to our bylaws in terms of the board structure. The board structure currently is 13-member board, 5 residential reps, 3 business reps. Both of those sets of representatives are based on mapped seats that do not overlap. And then there's an exec board of five members, a president, a vice president, a treasurer, a secretary, and a community-based organization rep. What we've had in the last two elections is incredible trouble getting candidates to fill the seats for business representative. It's not a particularly commercial area. There are very few business reps that are even eligible, predominantly just business owners. Most people that work at businesses do not want to run for a business rep seat because they don't have a particular stake in the community. And there's only a couple of commercial streets. So in the past two elections, especially for the area along Venice Boulevard, we have not been able to fill the seat. Not only have we not been able to fill the seat in the elections, having no candidates for two elections running, in the other sections where we do have candidates that run, we've never had more, at least that I can recall in the last two elections, we've never had more than two people run for any of those seats. The total number of voters in those seats are usually in the single, if not barely, double digits. So what we propose doing is changing our business representative seats to moving from districts, first, second, and third, to at-large business rep seats. Same eligibility criteria. You'd have to be a business owner, work at a business, own a business property, same stakeholder status for that. But you would be not just elected at large, and so, you know, thus increasing the competitiveness of that candidate pool and that election, but you also would be elected by the same at-large body that can vote for executive board seats. So anyone that's a stakeholder in Palms could vote for the folks that are going to represent the business community and represent the commercial potential of the neighborhood. This should, of course, increase turnout substantially, make for fairer elections, higher turnout elections, and that's the business rep side. Decreasing from 3 to 2 was part of our discussions of, do we want to do any changes of our board structure? Considering the low amount of candidates that we were getting and the proportional amount of businesses compared to other stakeholders within the community, we determined that we'd take that number from 3 down to 2, moving from specific seats to at-large seats, and then include and introduce a youth rep. Never had a youth rep before. We're certainly excited to do the outreach for that and to try to bring that person on. Had robust discussion about the age groups for that. Went down from an initial proposal of, I think, 16 to 21, give or take, to 14 to 23. Really trying to include the, you know, kind of upper middle school, mostly into high school age groups that definitely live in Palms, as well as the kind of younger section of the college age community, as there's a huge amount of UCLA students in Palms that, though they could be competitive if they're 18 and older for the other seats, are usually not, just because, you know, it's kind of hard to win a seat when you're a 18, 19 year old in college. You're not necessarily going to convince voters that you may be the best choice for some of the other seats they could be eligible for. So that was what we came to. The vote was unanimous to make those changes, had large support from the community. We hope we'll have your support today.
Any questions by commissioners? Okay, let the record show. I'm not sure when she left, but Commissioner Webby is not in the room. And it is currently 8 minutes before the hour of 4. Question, please. Have you ever, your original areas, those were specific retail or other types of areas?
No. So the areas were based, I mean, yes and no. So they were split just in terms of rough, the rough geography, and obviously I think you have the maps in front of you, but the geographies of the main business streets. So Venice Boulevard going east to west, Motor Avenue north to south, and Overland Avenue north to south. Basically split all of those into different districts and then just filled in all the other areas of the neighborhood, because that could include home businesses.
Okay, okay. So you did include home businesses, because I would assume there were quite a few in that area.
Yeah, the map is definitely inclusive of all areas of the neighborhood.
Okay. So now your business representatives are basically any place they happen to be, and everybody gets to vote for them.
Yes, and I should note that before, the district, the maps that were business districts could also include home businesses.
Okay, yeah. Very good. That's what we're doing. All right. Any questions from any of the commissioners? Staff.
Thank you, Commissioner Schaefer. We have Jasmine from the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment who will provide the department report.
Thank you.
Jasmine L. Barbary, Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. I'm the Neighborhood Council Advocate for Palms Neighborhood Council. The department has received the request from Palms Neighborhood Council to amend its bylaws to make changes that include replacing three area-specific business seats to the two at-large business seats, and to add one youth representative seat aged 14 to 23 years, and feels that it is an inclusive change and that the commission should approve it.
Okay. Any questions by any of the commissioners? Thank you, Jasmine. Wayne, you have a comment.
So as you see in the bylaws, Article 10, Section 6, representatives must be stakeholders aged 18 or above and eligible to vote for the office they hold. The proposal lowers the age of one seat to 14 to 23. So the proposal is ultra-virus, the bylaws. They would have to lower the age of everybody to vote in elections down to 14. They didn't do that. They're only changing one elected official, so it violates state law and it violates the city charter to have somebody age 14 to 23, 14, 15, 16, 14 to 18 years old on one seat when it violates Article 10, Section 6, which requires all stakeholders have to be at least 18 years to vote. I have no problem with 14-year-olds voting. I would like to lower the age to 5 so I could bus school kids in and kick some of these councilmen off of their seats. So otherwise, since I can't do that, I believe the application must be denied.
That's something I must have missed. Did we miss that? Comment by commissioners?
Commissioner Atkinson. I have no problem particularly with the proposed bylaws amendment. We went through this recently, and so most folks know that I disagree with bringing the age of down to 14 for members, for young people to be members of a board. We had this discussion before, and I believe, but it was another neighborhood council who didn't actually wanted to raise it. I just think that you should, that young people can certainly be brought into a neighborhood council and work on committees and learn and understand what's going on. But I really think 16 and above is a good voting age to make those financial decisions that have to be made by a neighborhood council. That's just my opinion. But since you left it in the range of 14 to 23, I can only hope that when somebody runs, they'll be older than 14.
Commissioner Sinclair, I have two quick comments. I believe that if you're under 18 and you serve on a board, you're not allowed to vote on financial issues or funding issues. And also, did you change the age in your... Okay. Would you like to comment on that?
Thank you. Just wanted to note to the comments that were made, the full bylaws that we submitted have changes throughout. What's only before you today is the particular board seat change, but the section that was mentioned by the stakeholder in the public has also been changed to indicate that stakeholders for that particular seat can be under can be up 14 or older to vote for that seat. So that has been also corrected throughout the bylaws to make sure that it is consistent.
That's as to that specific seat?
Correct. Not for all seats.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks. Any other questions or comments by the commission?
I just wanted to disclose that I am a former member of the board of the Palms Neighborhood Council, and I was not involved in any capacity with the discussions of or the voting of the bylaws changes. So I just disclosing that.
As I recall, you've been off that board for some time?
Almost a year.
Okay. All right. I'll entertain a motion from a member of the commission. Somebody want to make a motion? Commissioner Sinclair?
Yes. Hang on. I move that we approve the proposed Palms Neighborhood Council bylaw amendment application to replace three area-specific business seats to two at-large business seats and add one youth representative seat aged 14 to 23 years.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion on the floor by Commissioner Sinclair, seconded by Commissioner Atkinson. Still noting that Commissioner Webby is absent from the table. Those in favor of the motion, please so signify. No objections. It is unanimous by four votes. Moving on, number 15, discussion possible action to approve Glass Ale Park Neighborhood Council bylaw amendment application to change their board structure by changing the specialty seats, one faith-based representative, three business representatives, two organizational representatives, and one education representative to at-large representative seats. The new board structure for the Glass Ale Neighborhood Council would be seven area representatives and eight at-large representatives. Benjamin, are you here to speak for the... Okay, come on up and let's talk.
Good afternoon. My name is Benjamin Deisinger. I'm the chair of the Glassell Park Neighborhood Council. Come to you today with similar reasoning for the last two agenda items. We feel that our current bylaws, having three business representatives, two institutional representatives, two organizational representatives, is exclusionary to our stakeholders wishing to join the Neighborhood Council. We've had a few members of our community wish to join, but didn't fill the requirements for a business seat or an organizational seat. And we feel that by changing to at-large status across the board, it would allow people who want to help the community to be able to join the Neighborhood Council and contribute.
Any questions? I have one. I can ask staff that question. Mr. Soon, want to come up? And before you give your evaluation, may I assume that with regards to the application that says change in board structure, mm-hmm. that has the last sentence, we are also changing our quorum from eight to a simple majority of board seat filled, no less than seven shall constitute a quorum, that is not part of this bylaws change because it is not allowed.
Tom Soon, Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. No, Commissioner. What's before us is the board structure change regarding the quorum. That's something the department will look at internally.
We know, of course, that we are not allowed to have floating quorums.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Yes. Very good. I just noticed that when I was reading it, and I popped.
No, I totally understand.
Okay. Staff recommendation.
Tom Soon again, Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. I do just want to say that for the Glassell Park Neighborhood Council, before I give my recommendation, that they are one of the stars when it comes to community impact statements. I think this past month, the Neighborhood Council filed like 20-plus community impact statements, so well done, Glassell Park. And they were also a finalist for the East Area Empower LA Awards, so keep up the good work. A recommendation from staff is to that we do ask that the commission adopt the requested changes to change the seven specialty seats, the one faith-based, three business representatives, two organizational representatives, and one education representative to seven at-large representative seats. They currently have one at-large seat, so if the change goes through, it will be seven area reps and eight at-large representatives.
And how will that benefit them?
Just as President Ben Deisinger has mentioned, that this will be more of an opportunity for more inclusion and getting more candidates and stakeholders involved. During the last round of elections, we had a series of neighborhood councils that did also have some of the challenges that the Glassell Parks, the Palms did in getting folks onto the seats. So as a best practice, maybe the at-large way was an opportunity for more folks to get involved and fulfill the requirements of the plan, which is to get more folks involved.
Very good. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Questions from the commission? Commissioner Atkinson.
Commissioner Atkinson. Again, I don't have too much problem with the bylaws change, but I guess because there's been so much discussion over the years about outreach and getting people involved, how do you ensure that you take care of all the stakeholders and that they're represented in neighborhood council what you want to do, I mean, from your bylaws change, you want to get more people involved, and you want them to be a little bit more open, and you can get more people involved, but you may get all homeowners, or you may get all renters, or you may get an overabundance of business people. How do you, or, you know, all elderly, how do you ensure that there's outreach and that all people in your neighborhood council geographic area are represented?
Benjamin Deisinger?
Or can you do that? Maybe you can't.
Benjamin Deisinger, Glass Park Neighborhood Council, that's always the goal, is to reach as many people in our community as possible and get them as involved as they'd like to be. Unfortunately, during my time in the Neighborhood Council, which is coming up to a year, we have never had a full board, never once. And we are actively hurting to get more people engaged and coming out and being involved in the process. So we haven't seen any issues regarding a certain population coming and a certain population not attending. We feel that by being at large seats with area representatives, it would bring in people who currently already would like to be involved in the neighborhood council but are excluded because of the seats that we have. So by changing it to this, we are allowing to bring more people in. And from that, we can then reach out and bring in, use that manpower that we would then have to be better outreach, to have better outreach.
Any other comments or questions? Commissioner Littman.
I think your purpose is the right purpose. I guess my one concern, and this is a concern that has plagued other neighborhood councils, is that having so many at-large seats makes you sort of makes the ability for, say, an outside organization to come in and have a number of community impact stakeholders. Was this community interest stakeholders? It's been a long meeting, and I need some water, I think. Come in and sort of, and I put this in quotation marks, influence the election, because it's an election. That's what you do in an election. You bring out your voter. You get out the vote. So I wonder if this was something that you discussed when looking at these bylaws changes and whether or not you considered having maybe one of the seats be, you know, eligible for community interest stakeholders and not all seven of them, because that's a large portion of the board.
So just so I understand the question, we currently have seven area seats that would fill each of the different seven areas within our boundaries. And then the question is, how do we prevent a different interest that would want to come in and subvert the process? Do I understand that correctly?
Not necessarily subvert, but I guess I just want to make sure that you're aware that having a this many seats that are that a community interest stakeholder could be eligible to vote for has the ability to create a situation where the at-large representative, you could have a group within the community or without outside of the community. I'm not being specific. In a hypothetical situation, you could have a group, because you only have seven area representatives, come in and kind of take those seats as sort of a slate. So I guess that's, yeah, I just want you to be aware of that potential and possibility.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure with Commissioner Littman, Commissioner Schaefer, all of your stakeholders are eligible to vote for these at large. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then what he is saying is absolutely correct. Okay. Perhaps Mr. Soong, you might talk to them about a further bylaws amendment with regards to, unless, of course, they want it that way, but perhaps indicate to them what the consequences could be, because there seems to be some confusion on that. So maybe that could...
And that was the only reason for my comment. I just want them to be... If that's the decision of the neighborhood council on that, that's their decision. I just know some other neighborhood councils have had that problem in the past. So it's just something to be aware of. And, if you feel that it needs a further refinement in the bylaws, great. If you don't, and that's what you're comfortable with, that's your decision. So.
Is that it? Wayne, last minute.
Sure. Bailey wants to take my lunch.
Okay. Yeah, I just think that you don't have any renter representatives. You don't have a business rep. They're just going to be at large in area. I think it, what it'll do is it'll just homogenize the board. You won't really have any chance of any diversity on this board. You know, you go to Orange County, you know, I think it was the city of Anaheim, they do all at large representatives. With the Latino population of a majority, the supermajority remains white Anglo-Saxon. Whenever you get a bunch of at-larges, you eliminate diversity completely out of the system. It becomes a NIMBY situation, and I think that's what they're going for. It's a great area, Glassell Park, but it's becoming much more gentrified, and I think that this is a furtherance of the gentrification movement in that area. Yeah, you should vote no on it, but you'll vote yes on it because the way they've done it, there's really no way to say no, is there? There you go.
Thank you. Moving on, item 16, Commissioner Lippman, anything to discuss with regards to the... Oh, we should vote, shouldn't we? Okay, I would invite a motion with regards to item 15. Anybody want to make a motion? I'm getting ahead of myself. Somebody want to make the motion? Anybody? Oh, Commissioner Sinclair. Yes, I'm getting tired.
I move to approve the Glassell Park Neighborhood Council bylaw amendment application to change their board structure by changing the specialty seats, faith-based representative, business representatives, organizational representatives, and education representative to at-large representative seats. The new board structure for the Glassell Park Neighborhood Council would be 7 area representatives and 8 at-large representatives.
Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that motion.
Motion by Commissioner Sinclair, seconded by Commissioner Webby, with regards to the moving of item 15 on the agenda. Any further discussion? Those in favor, please so indicate. Any opposed? None opposed? Matter passes. Now we'll move on to item 16. Commissioner Lippman, anything specific with regards to the newsletter?
It's still being worked on, so
okay.
I plan to have something at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to number 17, I'm kind of surprised we do have a comment card with regards to number 17. I'm not sure how this fits in, but Mr. Reiser, you have a comment.
Sorry to bring this up at the end here like this. I know you had a long meeting, but I'm looking at this in terms of your future things that you ask the staff and your own policies to deal with. And this does deal with a policy. You've heard about the subdivision, and one of them was successful. In the process of that subdivision, we had a lot of fun playing with fairy tales and children's stories and, you know, the little engine that could and the Horton Hears a Herman and all this sort of thing, getting to a successful subdivision. But there was in the process from the opposition a very grim fairy tale that was passed on and posted in violation of every aspect of the code of civility that they and your body put together. It goes something like this, with the names changed. Just say no to the alleged thieving and youth exploiting Kincaids of Herman Neighborhood Council scheme. Voting stakeholders of the Arroyo Seco NC within the Herman Enclave should just vote no to the alleged thieving Carl and Carla Kincaids with supposed CD14 support scheme to create their self-serving mini NC. In CD14 ethical environment, these self-serving thieves should not be rewarded, especially with their own neighborhood council. But they will be because they're documented Jose Huizar loyalists. It's an open secret that the council member has exercised bias in supporting the efforts of Emperor Carl and Empress Carla for their thieving and voting exploitation of students. And it goes on and on like this. And the things being said on the street were even worse. It would seem like if a neighborhood council board put this kind of information forward to a gadfly blogger intentionally, which they did, and then circulated it to thousands of their own stakeholders and friends, that there's a violation of the code of civility. And this code of civility should not just be what happens in the boardroom of the neighborhood council. It should extend to any activities of the neighborhood council, especially since it says you are to treat with respect the people who disagree with you and the people who want something else from the neighborhood council. But there was no respect, there was no civility, there was no neighborliness. It was blatant, flat-out mudslinging. And I couldn't help but notice that even in the election rules for candidates,
thank you,
prohibition against mudslinging has been removed.
Okay. We've got it. Thank you. Okay, now, comments on commissioners' own activities and announcements. Anybody? Commissioner Atkinson.
I don't have a comment. I think this is where I can ask. Commissioner Atkinson, I have a question about our minutes when they are presented to us. And when we get to the section where in the minutes where it says public comments and sometimes there's no comment. But we very rarely explain what those comments are. And is there some way when we do the minutes to be a little bit more, have a little bit more clarity in the minutes on what that public comment was? We just say, yes, there's public comments on something, but we don't exactly say what the public comment was. Is that something we don't do, or is that just we try to... The last minutes, there were no public comments, so there was nothing to put in there. But sometimes there is public comments, and, you know.
Mike Fong with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Just for the record, if we look for on the April 4th meeting minutes, we do have public comments, and if we look at general public comments, for instance, it says Yolanda Gonzalez provided comments and updates.
Where are you looking?
I'm sorry. The minutes from April 4th, 2017.
From April 4th?
Yeah, the last meeting. So if we look at general public comment item number 10.
So I'm looking at public comment, none, public comment, none.
No, I'm sorry. If you look at the regular meeting minutes draft, you... item number, if you look at item number 6, look at number 10. Okay. So public comment, Yolanda Gonzalez provided comments and updates regarding the planning and land use procedures and issues. Ziggy Cruz provided updates on the status of the Hollywood Studio District minutes and contacted Commissioner Webby. So thank you to Mario for his hard work and efforts on that.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I apologize.
All right. Any commissioner activities? Commissioner Lindman.
I'd like to agendize, or I will have...
Future agenda.
Yeah. Like to add a future agenda item. We'll be... based on the ad hoc committee that we put together on Council File 15-1022-S2, the ad hoc committee has come up with some proposed motions that we'd like the board to consider, and the public to provide public input on.
You've got a report.
Yeah. Yeah.
With some proposed motions.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Will you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Will you please send those electronically?
Okay.
To Mario and perhaps to myself.
Okay.
So that at the next agenda conference, we can look at those.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
And secondly, this is something that's come up actually with other neighborhood council leaders is the issue of the subdivision policy and budgets. So I'd like the board to consider maybe creating an ad hoc committee to discuss that, and we don't have to create it today, but we could discuss it at the next meeting, looking at, you know, some neighborhoods have 100,000 stakeholders and have the same budget as neighborhoods with 4,000 stakeholders. There, I believe, are some equity issues and that become more pronounced as we consider subdivision policies that have the potential. I mean, I don't think that'll ever happen to create thousands of neighborhood councils, but has the potential to increase ever so slightly the budget and decrease the size of neighborhood councils.
Leonard. Commissioner Schaefer, comment with regards to that last. I will say that the working groups formed by this commission in 2012 discussed that extensively. Okay. And at the final meeting of all of the working groups from throughout the city, of which there were three areas of that that issue, it was decided that that issue would not be a recommendation because nobody could come up with a final recommendation for it. I will also comment that although I left the room because the issue I originally thought might come to this commission on recommendation, that the Valley Alliance has apparently taken it upon itself to want to set up a citywide working group to discuss and perhaps make recommendations with regards to that issue. And I'll be interested to see how they organize a citywide. They just want the Valley, don't they? Isn't that it? I think it's just the Valley, even though it was reported to me in an email that it was citywide. Well, they haven't asked us. Yeah, I know. They haven't asked us. I suggested that they do, and we haven't seen anything. They are. Okay. Well, if they may, the Valley Alliance may recommend to this commission that we explore that issue and take it out on the road to the entire city to see what neighborhood councils think of it. So there we are. Okay. Commissioner Webby.
Yes, number four, I would just like to ask either for commission or staff to provide some clarification on the application process. I know it was mentioned in public comment that there was a different type of application for boundaries, and it doesn't have to be now, but if that's something that you can bring back later, and I know that I've mentioned it numerous times, but if there is some way that we can look into either an early notification system or whatever the process might be so that all of the impacted stakeholders in whichever neighborhood council they might be would be notified, or some notification process when we receive applications, so that the first notification doesn't come to boards through our agenda.
I think
when things come to us,
Commissioner Webby.
I hope that's clear.
Perhaps at a later time we can place it on the agenda to recommend to the department that they develop a policy with regards to that.
Okay, and the first part?
Well, they can come back with a report as to how they're doing it at the present time or what they might do in the future. But I think to satisfy what you're looking for is that we actually recommend something specific to them. It doesn't mean they have to do it, but we can at least recommend it.
Now you might clarify for me. Are there separate applications then? I'm happy to take your suggestion. President Schaefer, I'll take your suggestion about coming back later with that recommendation. But now I'm not clear about whether or not there are separate applications, because that's something that was mentioned in public comment.
Let me check into that, but the microphone with the Department of Environment, I do not believe there's a separate application, but let me check.
Thank you.
Okay.
You can just give us that information at the next meeting. Be helpful. Thanks a lot.
Anything more? Motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second? Any objection? No objection. We are adjourned at 24 minutes after the hour of 4:00.